about.
When I think about things I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Questions. The universe. Paternity tests. Salutations. Hi, my name is Ahmad White. You may know me from your dreams. Call this number below and get the answers you deserve. Most people don't realize their chakras in another universe. Don't be dumb. Call now. Open your third eye. Knowledge is the path to greatness. If you'd like to be smart as a baby dolphin, call now.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Roll another one.
I should smack your smart mouth.
Just like the other one.
This was locker room talk.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Girls who love cats.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Neat sweats.
Roll.
Others were alive to see this.
Just like the other one.
They're all dead now.
This one seems to be about to end.
It's the best thing I've ever heard.
I don't have another cent.
I cannot in good conscience suggest you for any kind of broadcast employment.
But don't bogart that joint.
That sounds cray-cray, doesn't it?
Just pass it around.
Now.
I'm going to quote Gwen Stefani right now and just say that this is bananas.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, November 18th. Tell me who that guy was that wants me to open my third eye and be a dolphin.
That was a...
I love him so much.
That was a guy from Atlanta. They did a bizarre episode where it was all clips from what looked like TV shows on the Black Action Network.
Oh, awesome. I must have missed that episode. That's odd.
I'm sorry he is not real.
I want him to be real so badly.
I know.
Or wish bad, whichever one is correct.
I wish there were a way that you could call him and get your chakra all sorted
right?
out, but apparently no. That was just from the brilliant mind of Donald Glover on Atlanta.
That's too bad.
Did you say it was Friday?
I did. It's Friday.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah.
Fridays are good.
Yeah.
Happy about that.
Yep.
Hey, let's whisper, though.
Why are we whispering?
Oh, well, let's try.
Make it.
That'd be something. Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
But then what if people can't hear us?
Well, people just turn the radio off. And then when they least expect it, we say, hey!
And I think that'll work. That's a solid plan. I can't see any downside for that.
Way to make a lot of people happy.
Yep.
Hey, I got a story, something that came to mind when I saw this story out of Torrington, Connecticut this morning. My dad, for decades and decades, from the time he was a little kid, collected stamps and collected coins. I don't know that there are a lot of kids who do that anymore, but it used to be a popular pastime where you'd try to get the coins from all the states and you'd try to collect all the new first-class stamps that came out. And people used to literally have books that were filled with these things, and some of them ended up being quite valuable. And my dad, over the course of his, you know, lifetime, really, until he quit a few years ago, amassed quite a collection of both. I mean, it's not a fortune, but it would be worth, you know, a few thousand dollars, right?
So you took them and sold it?
Close.
From your dad? What?
I tried to talk my dad into selling them because he stopped collecting years ago. And I said, Chief, I said, you don't look at them anymore. You don't use them anymore. You don't get any kind of enjoyment. They're literally just stacked on a shelf. Why don't you sell them? And then you've got all this money to do something with. Buy something for yourself, something that you like, something that you can enjoy, get something out of it. And he said, I don't do that. He said, I'd never get what it's worth. And I said, but what's going to happen is you're going to die, and those boxes are going to be in that closet where they are right now, and then I'm going to have to sell them, and you know a lot more about both of those things than I do. So why don't you sell them? That way you can enjoy them. Couldn't talk him into it at all. Refuses to sell them because he's convinced he'll be ripped off if he sells it. He's never going to get what he put into it. Okay?
But might that be the case, is that he's never going to get what he put into it? And if so, isn't something better than nothing?
Yes, something is better than nothing. Exactly. So I'm trying to talk. I mean, we haven't talked about it in a couple of years, but at the time I said, you should sell it so you get the money. Don't make me sell it who knows nothing about it, and I don't need the money. You sell it. Couldn't talk him into it. You can't talk old people into anything, by the
way.
Old people are pretty much set. So I thought of my dad, and I thought of that story because this story out of Torrington, Connecticut, that was in the news this week, is a guy named Leonardo Rinaldi. He's 53 years old and still living at home with his dad, by the way.
Wow.
So maybe things haven't worked out for Leonardo the way he hoped. And his father had a coin collection that he had collected over a number of years, just as my dad had. Coin collection was worth about $8,000, which, by the way, probably comparable to what my dad's collection is worth. That's why I want him to sell it, right? $8,000 coin collection. Well, Leonardo stole his dad's coin collection.
Right? Now listen to this, Bean. This is what you should do.
Steal it?
Yeah.
Took it to the Stop and Shop there in Torrington and ran it through the Coinstar machine. $8,000 worth of coins going back decades, some of them very rare and very valuable. How much did he get for his $8,000 coin collection that he stole from his father?
So I assume like a nickel would have been worth, you know, 10 bucks or 20 bucks or something like that.
Could have been, right?
So
sure.
I would say he got $25.
He got 60 bucks. $60. Now, that's a tough conversation to have with your dad, right?
Oh, you never have it. I don't know what happened to your coins. They're yours, not mine.
Well, considering he was arrested and is in jail for it now and is being held on $10,000 bond, and I hope he's not expecting his dad to get him out of jail. Imagine the poor old man who had this coin collection that he probably slaved over for years.
If that guy went to one of those coin places and got the money for it, who's turning him in to the police? It had to be his dad.
I don't know.
No one else knew.
Yeah, that's
his
a great question.
His dad called the police on him.
That's a great question. I wish, as always, there were more details, because what would have been the tip-off for anybody at the Stop and Shop or anybody at the coin? I mean, the Coinstar people might have noticed a bunch of rare coins when they, you know, when they went and picked up the thing, but they would have no idea who did it or that it was illegitimate. So I don't know how the crime was discovered, but he did it.
All right, give me a time and place over the Thanksgiving holiday, and I'll meet you at Chief's house.
All right, and we'll just go in
when
he's out.
Uh-huh. And we'll take the coins.
Grab the coins.
Right.
Take them right to the Coinstar.
Right to the Coinstar. And get $22.
I mean.
And just leave the $22 where the collection used to be.
Chief went ahead and took care of it for you.
Congrats.
Sold it for you. This is a very sad story, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's not ideal in that he's 53 and living with his dad. That part of it is already sad.
And
then he steals, then his dad calls the police. Yeah.
Right. He did it for the $60 to buy crack cocaine.
Yeah.
So everything is not coming up Leonardo Rinaldi, I'll tell you that.
That story has everything.
Right?
I love it. Our story's going to be a lot better when we rip off Chief.
All right. I think I'm in, man. You talk me into it.
Let's not talk about it out loud, though, because people will hear it. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not a fan of it. I didn't ask for it.
Right, but you might like it. Brad Williams, comedian, will be on the show today.
Oh, Brad Williams.
Love him so much. Petros is on the show today talking USC-UCLA, which is this weekend.
Don't care for Petros.
We'll pass along your regards to him.
All right.
RJ Bell from Las Vegas, as we do on Fridays. He has his Week 11 NFL picks. Mm-hmm. It's Friday. We've got the movie beat. We've also got a brand new internet roundup coming up for you in about 20 minutes. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. That's coming up. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. See, that's the kind of song that'll wake you right up.
No kidding.
That's why we whisper.
Right, that was a good idea.
Right. Did you like Bean's idea?
That's great. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of ease people into the morning.
You're listening to NPR.
not far from that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hey,
ah!
That's the voice of...
my radio turned up.
Oh. The voice of Ralph Garman. How was the rest of your birthday yesterday, Ralph?
Oh, it was birthtastic.
Yeah? Did you go check
the cheese? Is that a word?
I did not go to Chuck E. Cheese, no.
Oh.
No, he's saving that for the weekend. He's going to spend the night tomorrow night.
My little mini tradition in my house is that on my birthday or my wife's birthday, my daughter gets to surprise us with where we're going for dinner to celebrate our birthdays. So you have to put a blindfold on and everything, and then she takes you to the restaurant.
Oh, and it's always Chuck E. Cheese?
No.
Oh.
Sadly.
So if you're blindfolded,
what kind of lame ass kid are you? You don't pick Chuck E. Cheese, I said to her last night. What mean? What
was if that? You're blindfolded, does she drive you to the restaurant?
Yes, yes. My six-year-old daughter puts a couple phone books on the seat, and then she drives to the restaurant.
Right. Bean, here's a concept that maybe you need to consider is that some people, their wives live with them.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
And we do things together household. As a family. Yes.
Right. Well, my wife moved away some time ago.
Right. So we know. She took her one-way ticket out of your life.
She did. Yes. So where'd you end up going?
So we ended up going to our favorite sushi place. And so it was a lovely night full of sushi and sake and beer and good time.
Six-year-olds love sushi.
Oh, man. She could put away the sake, huh?
My daughter adores sushi.
Really?
Yes. My kid has very advanced tastes for a six-year-old. She enjoys, loves mussels in broth.
Mm.
She loves escargot.
She's way ahead of me.
Caviar,
lobster.
She's got very. She better marry rich.
No kidding.
She's got very high end tastes.
You're about to go broke in the next 10 years.
Yeah, she's got. She likes a lot of grown up foods. So she loves sushi. Can't get enough sushi. So that's what we did last night, and then we went back to the house. Little cake and presents and stuff. It was very low key, but it was nice.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Well, welcome in for a Friday morning. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, Nick Cannon, if the rumors are true, and they are. Is expecting another baby.
All right.
Yeah, his girlfriend Brittany Bell is pregnant with his child, and he has officially confirmed the news. He said he's doing the Lord's work because God said be fruitful and multiply.
Man Cannon.
Apparently God also said be talentless and annoying because he's also fulfilling that part of the Bible. He's already got two kids, twin five-year-olds Monroe and Moroccan with his ex-wife Mariah Carey. So they're gonna have a little
all right,
little playmate.
Yeah,
little playmate. Did you know, by the way, in their divorce, neither Monroe nor Moroccan can address any new partner that Mariah Carey or Nick Cannon gets as mom, dad, mommy, daddy, father, or mother, or any other derivation. That is in their divorce agreement. That's in the contract.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Isn't it? That's kind of nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the most self-centered thing I've ever heard
really
as well.
Is. I'm the only one.
That's crazy.
Yeah. If you cared so much about your kids, you would have made your marriage work. Right?
Right.
Right. And now Mariah Carey's like, oh, my billionaire left me. Ha ha. It's good times. This is good news, because it's always cheesed me off. You know when they show How the Grinch Stole Christmas on television?
Right. Mm-hmm.
They cut it to shreds. They cut it to ribbons. Which I never knew until I picked up the DVD and started watching it with my kid. I'm like, I don't remember this part. I've been ripped off my whole life. Well, NBC announced yesterday they will be airing the full-length original version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas this year to mark its 50th anniversary.
That's great news.
Yes. Minutes have been cut in the past to run more commercials, so you miss out on part of the Grinch song, and there's a whole bunch of stuff in there you don't see. So
that's awesome.
They're going to air it complete for the first time in many, many years, and you can catch it on the day after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 25th.
Because week from tonight.
That would be a week from tonight.
I set up my DVR for that broadcast last night.
Really?
Yeah, I don't want to miss it.
Over a week out, you were on the How the Grinch Stole Christmas?
Look, when you see them advertise something on TV, isn't that the best time to go, while you're thinking about it, go find it and set up to record? Otherwise, you might forget about it in the ensuing days.
Okay.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Kevin, what fictional character would you say has been dramatized in feature films more than any other? What fictional character has had more versions of that character in motion pictures than any other fictional character?
Fictional character?
Yes. What fictional character has been represented in movies throughout the history of motion pictures the most?
Jesus.
Well, that's a good guess.
I honestly don't know.
The whole thing about fictional, that's for you to answer your emails with. But it's a very good guess.
I don't know.
But it's not correct.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Bean, do you know the answer?
Bean?
I don't. I'm going to guess Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes is correct. Sherlock Holmes has been represented in feature films over 120 times by 120 different actors. It's crazy.
Wow.
One of the very first silent films was about Sherlock Holmes. That is a new one called Holmes and Watson, coming to a theater near you, starring Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly as Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson.
Bitchin'.
So in.
Take my money now.
How perfect is that?
Very much in.
They just announced the rest of the cast that will be in the film. Rob Brydon, who's one of my favorite British comedians, also a very brilliant impersonator, he'll be in the film. Kelly MacDonald and Rebecca Hall have all joined the cast as well. So sometime next year we'll be getting a new Sherlock Holmes movie with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
Excellent. That's fantastic. And by the way, the if you want to set up your DVRs, the Benedict Cumberbatch Holmes comes back on New Year's Day.
Now that's a great show. I'm going to set my DVR for that right now.
You guys are cumber
while
bitches.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. Yes, we are.
Today's celebrity birthday is comedian Kevin Nealon is 63 years old today. Owen Wilson. Wow. He's 48 years old. Have you seen the video of the turtle impersonating Owen Wilson? It's very funny. Mike Epps is 46. Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly is 46 years old today. Now she's got a new book out.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. Just released a new book where she talks about how Donald Trump was a bully to her and threatened her and was inappropriate with her. Could have used that information a couple weeks ago. Thanks for waiting on it.
But
thanks
also
for sitting on it, Megan.
Also sort of knew it the whole time, right? Or no? Is it new information?
No, but, you know, every little bit helps, right?
Wrong.
Wrong, indeed. Actress Chloe Sevigny is 42 years old. And Damon Wayans Jr. from New Girl and many other things is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ooh, I got big Killers news for you guys.
Okay.
You know how, because we just played the Killers, you know how every year on December 1st, the Killers put out a Christmas song with the proceeds going to the Red Charity, which fights HIV around the world.
How many years have they done that?
10.
10 years. Wow.
Well, this year, in fact, today, available exclusively on iTunes and streaming on Apple Music, they put them all on a collection, a Christmas album from the Killers. If you want to hear them all at one in one place right now, it's called Don't Waste Your Wishes. And they included this year's song, which is a cover of I'll Be Home for Christmas that Brandon Flowers sings with his fourth grade music teacher, Ned Hansen, his fourth grade music teacher, sings on I'll Be Home for Christmas with Brandon Flowers.
Not That's enough people are named Ned.
Right?
I like that.
So anyway, if you love the Killers like I love the Killers and you love Christmas music like I love Christmas music, this is a big day for you. It's called Don't Waste Your Wishes. It's on iTunes if you want to get all the great Killer songs, and all the proceeds go to a great local charity. Hey, King of Mexico, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Got a nice batch of Internet Roundup videos here. Let's hear the big theme first, then we'll tell you about it. Honest Trailers is back with their Finding Dory, which is very funny. There's a couple of mannequin challenges, including the biggest one, which is, what was this? This one in Perth. This was at a basketball game, right, King?
Yes.
Like 12,000 people involved?
Yeah, Australian Basketball League, the Perth Wildcats.
It's pretty crazy to see an entire arena doing the mannequin challenge.
It's almost as good as the Clippers one, but you know what? I'll allow it.
All right, yeah. She'll allow it.
A couple of videos we want to spotlight for you. First of all, we should mention, in addition to the new Killers record out today, Metallica is back with their Hardwired to Self-Destruct, and it is very heavy. And they put a video for every song on that album up on YouTube. You can see that right now. And they also swung by as part of their promotional duties with The Tonight Show. They stopped by with Jimmy Fallon. And you know how they do that thing where they play a song on children's instruments?
Yeah.
Well, Metallica sat in with that and Jimmy Fallon and his band, and it's a little different to hear Enter Sandman perform that way. Stay in prayers if you want, don't walk in past us, to include everything. Don't you win with this, if you're free from them, tell the Sammy.
sounds like a drunken bus full of people singing that song, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I don't want to...
Yes, King?
Say anything, because you know me, I'm a musical savant, and I know everything about music.
Sure, right.
But you know what? On this one, they're a little off. The little clapping machines are off. The drums are off.
So
the singing's off.
You're upset that the little kid...
The little instruments weren't tight. They weren't tight.
They weren't tight.
Okay. So, you know, it's not usually up to Metallica's par... up to their par. But, you know, I blame Jimmy Fallon for this one, so... I'll put it
was
on
Was he
him.
Out there trying to out-sing?
Oh, he was James. Singing. He was screaming out there, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's a cute video. I guess Dave says you should turn the volume down, but please watch. One of my favorite series that we spotlight from time to time on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup is called Ask a Porn Star. And, you know, they ask questions like, how did you get your porn name? How did you tell your parents? You know, all sorts of things about being in the industry. And this one is, I wish Allie was here today because I'm sure she's got stories because many women do. What happens when you get unsolicited penis photos? Like, what's your reaction when some guy decides that what you really need is to see his junk?
It does seem like all girls are subject to this.
It does.
Yes. I know how I react.
And I don't know why.
Well, you'll hear from the ladies in this Ask a Porn Star video that they're not crazy about it either. Even though it's sort of in their line of work, they still are like, no.
Oh my god, I get sent pics all the time. It is because I get them from my cuckolds, and they like to send them to me to laugh at them and humiliate them, and they're usually like this small and like either in a chastity cage or being tortured in some way.
The users have a problem to understand that the person they see on the screen is not the same that we are in our real life. And when I'm not shooting porn, and I'm a completely normal person, I could be your sister, I could be your mother, I could be your best friend. This image of a girl that it's always wanting sex, that it's always wanting like someone to f*** her, is not a real person. That's fiction. It's a character. And people just don't understand this. People think that in our personal lives we are a hole to. It's kind of frustrating because I am more than a porn star. Porn is what I do, but it's not what I am.
Thank you, Melania Trump.
A little bit, yeah, you're right. Very interesting video. And finally, on this edition of the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, you are going to love this one so much. Ryan Reynolds, who just, by all accounts, is the nicest guy in the world. He's a super talented actor. He's so funny. Of course, the star of Deadpool. He was honored by GQ magazine as their Man of the Year. And the promotional video that they shot had him being interviewed by his, quote, twin brother, end quote. So Ryan Reynolds is playing both parts, and Ryan's twin brother is pretty rough on the questioning, I think.
First question. Why such a c***? I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's the second question. I skipped ahead. Let's get to the heart of the matter now. Why can't you be like other actors? Good ones. Do you consider Deadpool the Green Lantern of good movies? What's Eva Mendes like? I don't know. What's Blake Lively like? She's wonderful. No. What's Blake Lively like? You're a pig. Right. Now, what made Deadpool so successful?
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, you got a great director in Tim Miller. You have incredible writers in Rhett Reese.
I'm so bored right now, I don't even know if I'm peeing. So, GQ Man of the Year, that's a big honor. You know, I can't think of anyone more worthy. Yeah, well, it's... Hey, Jake.
See you there.
What's he doing here?
No. What are you doing here? Of all the endangered animals that you've eaten, which one would you say tastes best?
I've never...
You're right. The American bald eagle is off the endangered species list. They're fine.
I don't think it is.
Well, at least you admit to eating one.
I think we're done here. Stop.
Stop it.
Don't.
Butternut nipple clamp.
Bring me the head of Alfredo Garcia.
That does it.
I'm done here.
I love you.
Love you.
Twins, right? So who else could be GQ's Man of the Year? They pan out and it's Jake Gyllenhaal holding the camera. He's actually the one who's filming the thing. That's why that's funny. It was it's a great video. There's so many good ones on this batch of Kevin Bean's Internet Roundup. You can find it right now at krock.com or kevinandbean.com.
Guys,
you're the white Beyonce.
Thank you.
I'm not positive that's true.
It is completely true.
And you should put a ring on it. That's all I'm saying.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 23 minutes after 6.
RJ Bell talks NFL coming up just after 7. And speaking of football, college football this weekend, USC versus UCLA on our friend Petros Papadakis, who, if I recall, was on the worst USC football team of all time.
He was the captain.
Yeah. He was the captain of the worst of all time.
I believe
That's
so,
That's
yeah.
a leader. Mm-hmm. That's a man who can lead you into worstness
yeah.
is a leader.
That's why I'm glad he was our choice as the guy to go to discuss the big game coming
why
up.
Why have you got
to
be so anti-P?
That is all coming up this morning.
You should be pro-P.
That is all coming up this morning here in Kerrick. First of all, it's Friday. I think you know what that means. It's time for the movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Quite a batch of films this weekend, from small personal tales of courage to Fantastic Beasts. Except I don't know where to find them. That's my problem. Hopefully there's a movie out this weekend that'll help me solve that problem. So let's start off with Manchester by the Sea, a film in limited release this weekend, which means, as always, you have to work a little harder if you want to find a theater showing this particular film. Casey Affleck stars in this film, directed and written by Kenneth Lonergan. Michelle Williams is also in the film. Kyle Chandler, great cast. It's about an uncle who's forced to take care of his teenage nephew after the boy's father dies. And not your most functional family, I guess you could say. Here's some clips from the trailer of Manchester by the Sea.
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well, your brother provided for your nephew's upkeep.
Where are we going, to the orphanage?
Shut up.
Get in the car.
Can't obey your orders until you unlock the door.
Whatever you decide, he can always stay with us if he wants to come up weekends.
Do you want to be his guardian? Hello?
Hello, Lee? I just want to call and say I'm sorry. How's Patrick doing?
Well, he doesn't really open up with me. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to just sit here until you calm down.
All right, I'm calming now. Would you please just go away?
No.
That Casey Affleck is a great actor, and I'm telling you, one day Michelle Williams is going to win an Academy Award for something, Ralph.
I think you're right.
She's great.
Maybe as her portrayal of Janis Joplin.
Maybe.
Which she's going to be doing that film. We'll have to wait and see. Nocturnal Animals is also in limited release. This is directed by Tom Ford. Fashion designer Tom Ford directing this film. A very stylish thriller about an art gallery owner, played by Amy Adams, who is haunted by the disturbing novel written by her ex-husband. It is a violent thriller, and as she reads it, she gets the sense that, hey, I think he's talking about murdering me in this book. That's got to be disturbing.
I would think so.
She thinks it could be a threat against her life. Certainly, it is a symbolic revenge tale. Great cast in this as well. Jake Gyllenhaal also in the film. Michael Shannon, Aaron Taylor Johnson. Here's some clips from the trailer.
My ex-husband used to call me a nocturnal animal.
I didn't know you had an ex-husband.
Recently, he sent me this book that he's written. It's violent and it's sad. And he dedicated it to me.
Did you love him?
I did something horrible to him.
When you love someone, you have to be careful with it. You might never get it again.
It's fun to kill people. We should try it sometime.
Nobody gets away with what you did.
You are all going to die.
Ah! It's fun to kill people. Bleed for This. If you were a boxing fan in the 90s, you know this story so very well. Story of world champion boxer Vinny Pazienza. Vinny Paz, as he was known, the Pazmanian Devil. What are you laughing at?
I've never heard of him.
You never heard of Vinny Paz?
I have not, no.
You die right now.
That seems extreme.
You go to hell.
That also seems extreme.
Love Vinny Paz. He was an animal in the ring, and then one moment changed his life forever. A near-fatal car crash, which left him... Doctors told him he'd most likely never walk again. Certainly never box again.
To tell a fighter that.
He told them that's not the case. Not only did he defy the odds and his doctors, but he not only walked again, he made one of sport's most incredible comebacks. Miles Teller stars as Vinny Pazienza.
The Miles Man.
Aaron Eckhart as his trainer, Katie Sagal. Great cast in this film. It's called Bleed for This. Here's some clips from the trailer.
If you let me do the fusion, I can guarantee you'll be able to walk again.
And he'd be able to fight again.
Me.
And not fuse in my neck.
With this severe of an injury. One bump, one fall, and your spinal cord could sever.
Kev, I'm gonna fight again.
No, you ain't, Vinny.
Vinny, no, no. You just don't know how to give up.
No, I know exactly how to give up. You know what scares me, Kev? Is that it's easy.
Come on, this is insane.
I'm not done. Right, I got more in me.
That's going to be a good film.
I think so, too.
That Miles Teller, I'm telling you, one day, that Miles Teller will win an Oscar for something.
Could be for playing a Janis Joplin, because he's
no,
going to be doing that later next
Earl
year,
Joplin.
I think.
The Edge of 17, seven, what? The
edge I'm of, not positive.
The Edge of 17. How great does this look?
It looks so good.
Looks so good. High school teenage coming-of-age tale, the story of a young misfit named Nadine, who it's tough enough for her in high school. But it gets worse when her best friend Krista starts dating her older brother. If she didn't feel like an outsider, she certainly does as Krista, her friend, joins her older brother and the cool clique of kids, leaving her even more so on the outside. Haley Steinfeld stars in this along with Haley Lou Richardson, Blake Jenner, Kira Sedgwick. Great cast. The trailers for this look terrific. Here's a scene from the film where Haley is talking to a teacher at school, played by Woody Harrelson, and she is basically telling him that things are so bad, she's going to end it all.
I'm going to kill myself. Probably going to jump off an overpass in front of a semi.
I wish I knew what to say. Well, I was actually just drafting my own suicide note just now. Dear everybody, as some of you know, I have 32 fleeting minutes of happiness per school day during lunch, which has been eaten up again and again by the same especially badly dressed student. And I finally thought, you know what? I would rather have the dark, empty nothingness. I really would. It sounds relaxing.
Oh, this movie looks terrific. And lastly, we mentioned those Fantastic Beasts, but if you, like me, are confused as to their location, well, this is the movie for you.
Yay!
Fantastic Beasts and, more importantly, Where to Find Them opens up today. This, of course, is the prequel that takes place some 70 years before. What story, Kevin?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter, that's right.
Thank you, Ralph.
Kevin refused to believe it was connected to the Harry
no,
Potter
No, I know
story.
That it's connected to, but it's not part of.
Well, actually it is, because this is about Newt Scamander, the writer, who wrote the book, as it were, literally, on Fantastic Beasts, and Harry Potter studies this same book in Hogwarts when he's attending there. See, it all ties together. Eddie Redmayne stars, Catherine Waterston, you got Colin Farrell in there, great cast. Newt Scamander shows up in New York and finds the secret community of witches and wizards as they all try to track down these fantastic beasts and put them back where they belong. Here's Colin Farrell interviewing Newt Scamander, played by Eddie Redmayne, in jail about these fantastic goings-ons.
What makes Albus Dumbledore so fond of you?
I really couldn't say.
So setting a pack of dangerous creatures loose here was just another accident. Is that right?
Why would I do it deliberately?
To expose wizard kind. To provoke war between the magical and non-magical worlds.
Mass slaughter for the greater good, you mean?
Yes.
I'm not one of Grindelwald's fanatics, Mr. Graves.
See, he mentions Albus Dumbledore there in that scene, Kevin.
Heard that.
Who was also in the Harry Potter stories.
But somebody like me, Ralph, who never saw the Harry Potter movies, I could walk in cold and get this one, right?
Well, put a sweater on.
I mean, not having
cold.
Any knowledge.
I mean, I know
the,
sometimes the air conditioning in these theaters
can
be turned up pretty high. So I'm just
what
saying,
I'm saying is that,
you know,
if I don't know the
dress
characters,
in layers. This way, you can take it off if you get hot inside.
Right,
the
but if I'm unfamiliar with the story, I can still start.
Absolutely,
at this point.
They give you everything you need.
Yes.
Everything you need. In fact, you're probably better off watching this before you even watch the Harry Potter films. It'll set it up for you. So this is sort of where it all begins. That will be the monster hit of the weekend. Absolutely. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know. Is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Way down we go.
I feel like.
See, this would be a good one to whisper out of.
Hey!
Oh, see, you just
blew
ruined
the
magic.
Mood. Come on.
You snuffed the candles and tipped over the wine.
And blew the magic.
And blew the magic.
Apparently.
Thanks, Mugs. I like this beer mug kid. I think he's got a future.
Do you?
RJ Bell is coming up with week 11.
We're not whispering now, B. We've already started talking.
I do not have a good feeling about this weekend. I'm just saying that out loud.
What do you mean about this weekend?
Who are you playing? Oh,
about your Eagles?
We got to play Seattle in Seattle.
Oh.
Yeah. They are pretty hard to beat there in a douchebag field or whatever they
That's
play.
The name
I
of
think
it.
It's the name of the field.
I think CenturyLink is how we refer to it. But but you're this is the best Eagles team you've had in years, though, Ralph.
It is, and the defense is excellent, and hopefully Squirrely McNuthead there is got a bad ankle. Maybe we can get to him early on.
He looked pretty good. He looked pretty good against the Patriots. I'm saying he has. You're right. He's been hurt all year, but he's finally starting to come out of it.
What's his name?
Squirrely McNuthead.
Oh, okay.
Russell Wilson.
That's it.
Russell says Wilson. It on his jersey.
McNuthead. It's on the back.
Jimmy Graham seems to be healthy again. Thomas Rawls returns this week.
Lou
Cam
Rawls.
Chancellor might
he's
be back.
Start.
Sure, he's there.
All the Rawls.
Seahawks are peaking at the right time, but we'll see. We'll talk about that in all the other games with RJ coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Well, this is the best news I've ever heard.
Wow.
You know, the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
He has written a number one best-selling memoir called Born to Run.
I read it.
I said it. I'm here to represent it.
It's outstanding.
Well, I'm not going to read it.
Same.
Nor why should I read it when I can have Bruce read it to me.
Yay!
Simon & Schuster Audio has just announced they will release an 18-hour audiobook.
I'm sorry?
18-hour audiobook of Born to Run of Bruce Springsteen himself reading the book to you.
Can somebody else read it faster?
Oh, how dare you. Bruce recorded the tracks at his Stone Hill studio there in New Jersey. And Bruce, being Bruce, will add musical examples.
That's pretty cool.
To what he's talking about in the book as you're reading it. Now, that's the way to get it, right? From the man himself with a little guitar and stuff in the background?
Yeah, so he's... So what? So he's, like, talking about writing and recording Born
How
to...
How dare you?
No, I'm saying he's, for instance, talking about writing and recording Born to Run or Born in the USA or something like that.
I remember when I came up with this riff.
And then he plays some of it along with it? That's pretty cool.
Down.
He plays that for an hour. That's why it's an 18-hour book.
How long did it take you to read it, Bean?
I don't know. Probably about 6 hours, maybe?
Yeah, so triple that.
Yeah, but like Ralph's saying, it's a totally different experience. Yeah.
He's like he's talking to himself.
One of the things I learned in reading the book, by the way, is Born in the USA, one of his most popular songs that we all know and love. That was first take. First time the band had ever played it was the version that ended up on the record.
Well, they should care a little bit more about their fans
right?
and work a little bit harder and not be so slapdash with their professionalism. I don't care for that. I don't care for anything slapdash.
I've heard you say that many times.
Who's more against slapdash than I am?
Zero people.
No one. I don't know if you want to see this. I didn't, but some people might. You remember an actress named Shelley Duvall? She was in The Shining. She was in Popeye with Robin Williams. Odd-looking,
really.
Very super thin actress. Was very popular throughout the her career over the decades.
Okay.
Well, she is not well. She has done a new sit-down interview with Dr. Phil.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And she seems to be battling a serious case of mental illness. I think particularly where she talks about the fact that Robin Williams, her co-star from the Popeye movie, is in fact not dead, but has become a shapeshifter.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think this could get any worse, but apparently it knows no bottom.
She also says she's concerned because the powers that be have put an implant under her skin.
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
And that the Sheriff of Nottingham, of Robin Hood fame, has been threatening her. Through various channels, sending her letters and calling
her. Now, why
her.
Is he putting this poor lady on TV?
You have made bad choices.
Because he's Dr. Phil?
He's a piece of garbage, that's why. The interview is causing some major controversy. And in fact, Vivian Kubrick, who is the daughter of the legendary director Stanley Kubrick, they worked together on The Shining. He directed that, and she did that with Jack Nicholson, classic film.
Right.
Now you must know her, right? Who played the wife in The Shining?
No. Nope.
I'm not going to hurt
place
you,
her.
Wendy. She's got, like, big eyes.
I can place him.
I know. You can place Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, I can.
Well, it's a breakthrough.
I have a picture of him in my mind.
That's great.
Does that help?
You can't imagine what she looks like?
No.
Shelley Duvall, the
it
wife
doesn't really
in The Shining.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
It matters to me.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to this point.
It should matter
I'm gonna
to you.
I'm going to get you there. I'm going to take you by the hand. I'm going to walk you through, and I'm going to get you to Shelley Duvall.
Oh, all right. I know her. Thank you, Chip.
Chip just pulled up a picture.
Yeah, sure.
Vivian Kubrick, the daughter of Stanley Kubrick, said that it is lurid and exploitative entertainment. It is appallingly cruel to put this woman on television and has called for a boycott of the Dr. Phil show. She is a very sick lady, and for him to put her on television in this state and allow her to embarrass herself in this way is beyond human decency.
She is correct. She
what do I do if I'm correct. Already boycotting him?
Boy,
then what?
I don't know how you can watch him any less, but you should. Boy, I saw that, and I saw the story, and I was like, I won't watch this. Who wants to watch someone suffering like that?
No.
For what? For ratings? It sweeps. So he's going to put a famous actress on there who's obviously got serious mental illness issues.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's a piece of garbage. Right, Dr. Phil? No, got nothing, huh?
Nope.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
No, I won't. Today's celebrity birthday is Damon Wayans.
You are looking at an idiot.
I'm looking at you, Phil. Damon Wayans Jr. is 34 years old today. Chloe Sevigny is 42. Did you watch that Big Love show on HBO?
A little bit.
Whew, that was a good show. A
couple episodes,
She was one of the sister wives on that show. Megyn Kelly, Fox News anchor, is 46. Actor Mike Epps, also 46 today. Owen Wilson. Wow. He's 48 years old.
Wow.
Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett celebrates his 54th birthday. And comedian Kevin Nealon, our buddy Kevin, has been on the show quite a bit, 63. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We look forward so much every week to this time on the show when we catch up with our friend, the founder of Pregame.com, live from Las Vegas. It's R.J. Bell. Give me that best theme song ever, would you please?
'Cause he's R.J.
Week 11 of the NFL is upon us. RJ, you're having a tough season, if I may be so bold as to suggest. I know you always tell us that it's tough what you do,
well,
but
you know
under 500 this year so far.
Here's what I'm going to embrace, right?
All right.
So 2 years.
Embrace the suck. That's what we do.
That's how we've stayed on the air for so long, RJ.
Embrace the suck.
So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, okay, 2 years we were over 60% net-net. And now what we're now calling, quote unquote, I'm making air quotes right now.
I see.
The bad year is, what, 13 and 16. So we're almost 500.
Mm-hmm. All right. And there's still time.
There's still time. We're gunning for a profitable season. But you're right. It does reinforce it. If they were giving money away, well, Vegas would shut down. So, but this week, I'm feeling pretty good.
All right. All right. Now, real quick, we're going to get to your three big picks, your predictions for the weekend. But I have to touch on the Rams only because there's a seismic shift that a lot of Rams fans have been waiting for. It's finally Goff time. How did that affect the line with the announcement that Jared Goff, the number one draft pick in the NFL, is finally going to start for the LA Rams this weekend?
You know, Goff time, that's not catchy for some reason. It doesn't excite me, I'll be honest. Vegas wasn't excited either. One of the things I love, and even, you know, many listeners to this segment are not batters, but I think the reason it's so popular, people love to hear what Vegas thinks about this, that, the other. Well, we've had a reaction to Goff, and what we've seen clearly is it's a thumbs down.
Oh.
Actually, Los Angeles, the Rams, were favored by 1 point with Case Keenum. They announced Goff as the starter, and now Miami became a 1 point favorite. So about a 2 point move. It was a downgrade for Goff. And man, oh man, you look at Case Keenum and think worse than that. But remember, and this is a great quick tip for the listeners, coaches know more than anybody, even more than Vegas. And when what they're seeing in practice, you've got to learn from their decisions because they know more than us. For a long time now, the coach has said, Case Keenum, that guy, yeah, that's better than the alternative. That's scary. We're going to see this week, but I do like Miami in this game.
All right, and then just before we get to your other NFL picks, USC, UCLA.
Yeah, Battle of Los Angeles. USC favored by 13.5 in this game. And USC, we think here in Vegas, one of the most underrated teams in college football. And by the way, interesting trend in this game. The home team, right, so wherever stadium they're playing at, 14-5 against the spread. That surprises me because you would think not travel, sleeping in their own beds, still the home team advantage, that would point to UCLA.
All right, very interesting. Let's get into this week's picks, NFL Week 11 with RJ Bell, pregame.com. Your big underdog, you've got the Baltimore Ravens plus 7.5 over the Cowboys.
Yeah, you think of Dallas. This team has been the sensation in the NFL this year.
Eight in a row, right?
8 straight covers. Now, think about that. That's not just an 8-0 on an email or on a tweet. That is win, win, cash, cash. Imagine, every time you bet this team, you get double your money back. That means what? People want to keep betting them, and that's why they're expensive here. And like we know about investments, you do not want to buy expensive things. Dallas does not have a great home field advantage. In fact, last 11 home games for the Cowboys, they've only won 3 of the last 11.
Wow.
They have Washington coming up on Thursday, so they might be looking ahead just a little bit. And if you actually look at the Ravens, they're very rested. They haven't played a road game in nearly a month. And historically, with Harbaugh as coach, when they have more than normal rest, so either a bye or off a Thursday game, they've won 15 of 18. 15 of 18, and we're getting over a touchdown with our big dog, Baltimore.
All right, plus 7.5 over the Cowboys. How about that? And by the way, just as a quick side note, how classy was that Tony Romo speech he gave this week? I mean, that was just beautifully put, wasn't it?
Yeah, but if you I would agree with that. But if you actually listen to the insider reports, a lot of conflict there. And if you actually look at the odds, Romo is favored to be Dallas next year against any other team, but it's a 2-1 underdog. So what the betting market is saying is there's a much, much better than 50% chance Romo will not be with the Cowboys next year.
Well, interesting. All right. The struggling Green Bay Packers are playing the Washington Redskins this weekend. This is your best bet. You have the Redskins minus 2.5. How come?
Well, I tell you this might be a big surprise to the listeners. Washington is the better team compared to Green Bay. This is by stats. This is by Vegas power ratings. Pretty much any way you look at it. They don't have the biggest names, but Washington has impressive playmakers on offense. Green Bay lacks playmakers, and they've especially struggled running the ball. And we got Aaron Rodgers. For years, it's been good times with Green Bay. They've been competing for Super Bowls every year, but still you hear whispers about him being aloof. You hear him being California cool. Now, listen, I know a lot of listeners are going to say, what's wrong with that? Well, listen, Green Bay, Wisconsin, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Now we've got tough times. Last week, Aaron Rodgers, after they lost to the Colts, he called out his team. How did they respond? They got blown out again by Tennessee. So this is a team that's not very good, Green Bay, this year. And even during those good years, they weren't a very good road team. In fact, during the last 5 seasons, Green Bay is below 500 on the road. You've got Washington with revenge off of last year's playoffs. Green Bay beat them. So we think we get the better team at home, less than a field goal. Washington, best bet.
All right, I don't want to hear from Raiders fans on this big game special, but RJ believes that Oakland is the most overrated team in the NFL. You've got Houston plus 6 over the Raiders. Please explain.
Yeah, let's talk about what the great setup. What's the recipe to be overrated in the NFL? One is close wins. Now, why would that be? It's because imagine the Arizona-New England game, first Sunday night game. A lot of people remember that game. There was a 47-yard field goal. If Arizona makes it, they win. If they miss it, they lose. All right, they missed it, so they lose. Does that really mean that New England was better? No, it was a coin flip at the end, and it went one way. Oakland has benefited from more coin flips, winning close games, than any other team. So really, that helps them be successful, but it doesn't necessarily make them good.
But RJ, does that give them confidence when it's close?
No, well, you know something? If you look at the stats, right? If that were the case, great question, you would think teams that win close games would continue to win. It would perpetuate itself, you would think.
Right.
Statistically, it doesn't.
Oh.
In the long run, close win. Now, I think in a given game, if you're within the zone, I think it perpetuates itself. But week to week, I don't think so. But I think that was a fascinating question. Now, what's the second thing when it comes to overrated? Is a big win on national TV because people remember what they saw most recently. They call it recency bias. And if you look at it, Oakland had an amazingly good win against Denver last time they played on Sunday Night Football. So everyone's remembering the gaudy record and that big, big win against Denver. But if you look at net yards per play, the wise guys love that stat. Oakland number 28 in the NFL. Oakland's off a bye. Now, that's typically good. But consider this. I'm going to say 3 words for you. Young team, success, Mexico. Remember, this game's in Mexico.
That's four words. That's four. I'm sorry, but that's four words.
All right. I had a
young team.
I had a hyphen. Okay. In that game. But here's the thing. Buys. Now, they had a buy, though, but buys are about discipline, and that's organizational. Some teams are disciplined, some aren't. Raiders off a buy. They've won only two of their last 13 games. Houston's not a flashy team, but perfect to keep it close. Big game special. Houston plus six.
I love thinking about all those Raiders players making it rain down in Tijuana or something. That's awesome. All right, here's the recap for NFL Week 11 from our friend RJ Bell, pregame.com. Big underdog is Ravens plus 7.5 over Dallas. The best bet is the Redskins minus 2.5 over Packers. And the big game special is Houston plus 6 over the Raiders. Don't forget, let RJ know how you do with your betting at Twitter, RJ in Vegas. And, of course, the website is pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. Have a great week, sir. Thanks for jumping on.
Thank you.
Comedian Brad Williams joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, and we're going to give you some tickets for night number two of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That is on the way, so keep on listening. But first, The Simpsons are in the news, you guys, in a way that they've never been in the news before. You know, I think Ralph told us last week that The Simpsons have been renewed for 2 more years.
Yep.
Which will take it to 30.
Yeah, that's not bad.
30 years.
It's been on the air continuously since 1989.
The longest-running U.S. sitcom of all time, longest-running U.S. animated program of all time, and The Simpsons has just changed the world in so many ways, and you got a story that I think is going to surprise a lot of people about it.
The University of Glasgow is going to offer philosophy courses based on Homer Simpson. You can take a philosophy course based on The Simpsons.
No! I mean, he is one of the world's great thinkers.
He sure is. What's happening here? We thought we would find out when get a hold of Dr. John Donaldson, who is the professor of philosophy at Glasgow University. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're doing fine. Do we have it right? You're really teaching a course there at your school on the philosophy of Homer Simpson?
Ah, of course I am. Why wouldn't I be?
Well, I mean, it's just he's a very clever character written by TV writers, but is he a great philosopher?
Ah, it goes much deeper than that.
It does.
The things he says, they're directly related to philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking and examining his complex character, we can take a better look at ourselves.
Right, but isn't Homer just a dumbass?
How dare you! How dare you say that about one of fiction's most complex characters?
Okay, what can we learn from TV's Homer Simpson?
Well, he talks about many things, of course, about family. About children.
Right.
Like he says, marriage is like a coffin, and each kid is another nail. That's true!
All right.
Also, his self-examination is beyond reproach. He talks about cartoons in a cartoon, saying, oh, Marge, cartoons don't have any deep meaning. They're just stupid drawings to give you a cheap laugh. He's talking about himself!
Okay.
Right. Why are you yelling?
Saying that
what?
Is absolutely deep and looking at his own existence.
All right.
Right, and that's interesting and all.
It's beyond interesting.
Okay, but what do your students walk away from that lesson knowing that will help them in the world?
That a life that is not examined is not worth living. That the childlike joy Homer Simpson has for things like beer and donuts are something we all can relate to. Look, he's violent, he's gluttonous, he's self-absorbed.
Right.
At the same time, you can't help but love him. What does that say about us as a people?
I'm not sure. It says that beer and donuts sounds pretty good about now.
You're making it too simple!
Why are you so angry?
Because you're not listening to the important side. Cartoons teach us everything.
Okay.
I'm not just teaching this class. I'm expanding the program to include lots of things we can learn from lots of cartoon characters.
Oh, like
oh,
what?
Really?
Like who?
For example, I'm doing a story on man's fear of commitment with Mickey and Minnie Mouse. They've been dating for 75 years! Why won't he marry her?
I don't know.
What's he hiding?
I don't know.
Oh, perhaps it's his... Oh, he and Donald seem awful close,
don't
they?
Oh, take it easy.
Oh, that's not... There's no reason.
Do. And Donald never wears pants.
Oh,
why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Easy access!
Okay.
That's why.
Or he's a doctor.
Speaking of homosexuality,
yeah.
I'll be teaching a course on homosexuality and bestiality with Shaggy and Scooby.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, yeah, I don't.
Two. Oh, they're together all the time.
But...
Oh, zoink, Scoob. Oh, let's get high. Oh, let's go in the van together. What do you think's happening there?
Well, I don't think they're just friends.
Don't be obtuse.
They're not having sex.
Oh, they're still having sex.
Oh, that's not good.
We'll also talk about the history of bullying via the life of Porky Pig.
Oh,
how they mock that wee pig because he can't speak right with his little stutter. Bullying! That's what that is!
Well, okay, that's true.
America's addiction to laziness with the Flintstones.
Okay.
Oh, those lazy bastards. That fat bastard Fred Flintstone. He's so lazy. Oh, look, I made a record player with a bird's beak. Oh, look, I turned an elephant into a dishwasher.
That seems
dishes.
That seems pretty ingenious, I think.
Oh, is it? Then why has he invented shoes, then? If he's so smart. That's a pelican, but he's still walking around in bare feet. Pushing a car with his feet. Why not have an animal pull the car, you dumb fat bastard? I hate Fred Flintstone so much.
It's just a cartoon. It's not real, Doctor.
I hate him.
Okay.
Oh, Wilma's way too hot for him. Oh, the things I do to Wilma.
I don't think we need to hear
How about transvestite sexuality through the works of Bugs Bunny?
What are you talking about?
Through Bugs Bunny?
Oh, when Bugs Bunny would dress up as a woman. Ah, you're so hot. The things I would do to Bugs Bunny.
I don't think we need to hear this.
Oh, with that bright red lipstick and that tight pencil skirt.
Just got weird.
Oh,
all right.
I'm going to rub your lucky rabbit's foot. I am rubbing it right against my crotch.
Oh,
all right.
I'm very uncomfortable
Donaldson,
with this. Thank you for joining us. You need some help, sir.
You need some help!
It is a Friday morning. We'll talk to our friend Petros Papadakis about USC-UCLA, the big game coming up this weekend just after 8 o'clock. Then funny man Brad Williams will be here. Ralph, you're in a little bit early for the showbiz beat. What's
going on? Well, because last night, of course, was one of the biggest nights in show business.
Oh.
And so we didn't have time to cover all of this in the showbiz beat, so I wanted to touch base on, what everybody's talking about today before
we get
what
did I miss? I feel like I'm pretty up to speed.
It's award season, of course, coming up beginning
of
next year. And January 21st of 2017 is the night where all the stars turn out.
January 21st?
That's not the Oscars? That's not the Golden Globes?
No.
Neither
of those meaningless awards?
Not the New York Critics Awards?
No.
I'm trying to think. What am I missing here?
The AVNs.
Oh, the
AVN Awards.
Oh, the kids love the AVNs.
The Oscars of porn. The Oscars of porn will be given out on January 21st.
So exciting.
Next year, it's Hollywood's biggest night. And
they've made the announcements?
They just released the list of nominees last night.
Oh,
so all of show business is a Twitter about the nominees this morning. Some shocks, some snubs.
Sure.
There's
Getting
so many
Maggie
categories.
Smith got nominated again?
No, she did not get nominated this year. So many categories, so many things to talk about. I can't get to them all, but I do want to talk about some of the more, I want to use my expertise to try to give you and some insight, because everybody has their pools, when they watch the AVNs, everybody at the party gets a pool and you have to try to guess who's going to win each category.
Right.
So I wanted to give some tips to some people. I mean, there's so many difficult categories this year that we need to take a look at.
How do you pick, right?
How do you pick? Now, some of them bigger categories are pretty much a slam dunk. I think for Female Performer of the Year, I think it's just a two-way race, really, between Gillian Jansen and Megan Rain. That's my opinion.
Okay.
But you could have to pick your favorite for that. But there are some of the deeper categories that I think absolutely require you to take a long, hard look at some of these films to really get an idea who's going to take home the
AVN. How long and how hard?
Well, depends.
Okay.
How much have you had to drink? Let's start with Best Art Direction. Oh, this is a great category.
Best Art Direction.
Mm-hmm. The three breakouts I see in this category, there's about 15 nominees here.
Wow.
I think Cindy, Queen of Hell... I think that film absolutely had some brilliant art direction in it.
Okay.
I didn't notice.
I think Sexbots also was very impressive.
Sure.
And Heartbreaker versus Obscura Lesbian Superheroes, I think also had some very impressive
that sounds
art
terrible.
Direction. So if you're gonna wager on that category, I would look at those three.
All right.
Best all-girl group sex scene. You have to look at Violation of Piper Perry, right?
Sure.
That was a big one.
Yeah.
Lesbian Roommates, I think, also. has a lot of buzz
right
about it. And Lesbian Landlord, also very popular. A lot of buzz there, too.
Sure.
A lot of buzzing coming from that whole category. A lot of buzzing sounds.
Interesting.
I don't know why. Mm. There's so much buzzing there.
Not sure either.
Yeah. Best Gonzo movie.
Best Gonzo.
And again, a three-way race, I think, between The Babysitter's Point of View, Texas Hoedown, and Danger Ass. I think Danger Ass might be my pick for Best Gonzo movie.
Danger Ass.
Best Comedy. Best comedy
this
year. I'm
sorry, did you say best comedy?
You heard me.
That's what you want in your porn,
Kevin. And we're talking about porn?
The nominees for best comedy this year. I think you got to think maybe Slutty Mom. That was hilarious. That was a very funny film.
That wasn't Madea's Slutty Mom.
No.
This is
Slutty Mom.
Okay, very different.
Amish Girls. Amish Girls I thought was very funny. But my personal favorite, and this category comes down to just what made you laugh hardest, Three Hole Punch. made me laugh the most. Best ethnic movie. That's the thing I like about the AVNs. They are very diverse. It's not a white boys club, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to, or a white girls club for that matter. A lot of diverse performers in this industry. Best ethnic movie. I got to think Made in Asia was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Sexy Senorita's 13.
Yeah.
Of all 13 of them, I think this really was the best.
It's crazy that they're peaking so late in the series.
And of course, Asian Strip Mall Massage 2, I think, was pretty strong. Best interracial movie. Watching My Mommy Go Black 14.
Now, do I have to watch the first 13 to get that one?
No,
okay,
no.
All right.
They really do a great job of keeping you up to date in terms of the storyline. Straight Out of Chatsworth, I think, was also strong for the interracial movie category.
Sure.
But my personal favorite this year, Bangin' Daddy in the Caddy. Best specialty movie.
There are a lot of categories.
Yeah. Internally Yours 8. I thought that was pretty strong.
Okay.
Squirtaholic, of course.
Well, come
everybody's
on.
Still talking about I mean, that after they saw it.
That's a shoe.
But again, my personal favorite for best specialty movie. Nursing Home Orgy, Granny's Violin.
No. No, sir. No, sir. No.
No.
That is a negative?
Can we say no?
No.
That is no.
You didn't. Did you see it? Did you go
I
to theaters
not.
To
I
see
did.
That
it's
one?
Not the kind not. Of thing that I would see.
It was excellent. And lastly, best parody. Boy, there were some good parodies this year. I think Storage Whore Orgy, I thought was good. I couldn't really tell what they were parodying, but I liked it. That was pretty strong. Republican candidate wife swap, I thought was also good. I love politics and porn. I love when
really,
those two things mix.
That is the best.
10-inch Mutant Ninja Turtles. was another favorite. But really, if I'm voting this year, my vote's going for...
You have to say it, Ralph.
What's your favorite of the parody porns up for an AVN this year,
Ralph? My vote this year would go for How the Grinch Gaped Christmas.
Oh, man.
No, sir. No, sir.
Why do some people tune out?
Those are your AVN nominees.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 till 8.
I haven't recovered from your last appearance on the show, Ralph.
Look, I have to
Gave
cover the
too
big
much
stories
to think about.
In Hollywood.
But now I can't get some of those titles out of my mind.
Wait till you see them.
Yeah. Not in a good way.
Granny's Violated again.
Yeah. All right. 7:55.
Don't
it is Friday
that.
Morning. Time for a look at the other showbiz news going on with Ralph Garman. What's happening?
And from the Twitter tweets and emails, it's not my bad if you're driving your kids to school and you're listening to the show, okay? That's your choice. You're making a choice. That's your parenting choice.
Occasionally, maybe it's not for your kids.
Just saying. While we're talking about it, How the Grinch Stole Christmas is in the news.
Yeah.
Not the version we were just talking about.
Thank
God. The original, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. It's marking its 50th anniversary this year. NBC has announced, in honor of that anniversary, they are going to be airing the full-length version of that kid's animated special for the first time in years. The original version is 26 minutes long. They used to cut 4 or 5 minutes out of it every year in order to pack more commercials in.
Who knew that?
I did.
Isn't that amazing to think about? If you watched that show in the 60s or 70s and maybe even up into the 80s, you were seeing 25 minutes of program and 5 minutes of commercials.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine that now.
Although I'm assuming, because that's how TV used to work back in the day, it was probably sponsored by one client.
Oh, yeah. So
the Grinch was brought to you by Hostess Twinkies or whatever. So it would be, you know, four spots or so for Hostess, and they would buy the whole half hour for you. But so they're going to show it in its entirety. So if you've only watched on television, you've missed out some good stuff. The songs are a little bit longer. There's some more footage.
Where's the outrage there?
Right? It'll be on the day after Thanksgiving, on Friday, November the 25th.
It sure holds up.
It is great.
Yeah. I don't know how you could be so wrong about the Peanuts Christmas, but so right about How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
There's no comparison.
Let's not get started. Let's not do this.
Grinch is a classic.
Bless you. Bless you.
And Peanuts is just death. Oh, it feels like it's about 4 hours long, that special.
Couldn't be more wrong.
They should cut more out of it and put more commercials in
right?
when they show it.
They should do like 90% commercials.
Oh, Charlie, I don't know. Where did we get the tree? I don't know. Let's go walk in the snow. Ugh.
Do you love it?
These kids are awful. Night Shift. You guys watch Night Shift on NBC?
No. What is that?
I don't even know what that is.
How do you not know?
What's Night Shift? Is that a TV show?
NBC's smash hit medical drama.
I'm unfamiliar with it. I'm sorry.
No. Just announced it's been renewed for a fourth season.
A fourth season?
Yes.
Who's in it?
All the night shifters.
Right. What actors? Right.
The people
or
who work the night shift.
Right.
Don't ask stupid questions.
Not the day, not those day
right.
doctors. It's all filled with night doctors. It's about the staff who works a late night shift in an emergency room in San Antonio Memorial Hospital.
What?
Fourth season. So
who stars in it, Ralph?
All you night shift fans are going to enjoy it. You know, all of
name the famous actors in night shift.
Oliver is in it.
He just goes by Oliver?
I know him personally, so I just call him Oliver.
Yeah.
I think Rebecca might be also in it.
Okay.
Does no one have a computer over there? Chip, do something. Look up Night Shift and give me some cast. I think Oliver Platt's in it, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't Oliver Platt in it? Steve is in it. Oh, days like this we miss out.
All right, here are the big stars. Here are the big stars for the
diet. Yeah, right there in front of your face.
Ian Macon, or Macon. Jill Flint.
Oh, Jill
Brendan
Flint.
Fair.
See?
Robert Bailey Jr.
Right.
J.R. Lemon.
Pretty much.
Tanaya Beatty.
All the biggest stars in TV right now.
And
all on one show.
Scott Wolf's in it.
Hey, we've heard of one of them.
Oliver Platt's not in it? Oh, maybe he's in Chicago Med. Maybe he's in the other
Yeah,
one.
He's not in this one. Oh. So. It was the number one summer drama
See?
On the Big Four networks this year, you guys.
Right.
And I never heard
down.
Of it.
Pipe
Fourth
down.
Season, you're saying.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
And you know who Arnel Pineda is? Arnel Pineda. Is that name something?
He's on the night shift.
No, he's not.
No.
He's the lead singer for Journey.
Oh, okay.
He's the little Filipino guy that Journey discovered on YouTube singing karaoke, or he was with a Journey cover band. And he was singing Journey songs.
Yeah.
And Journey had lost their lead singer, Steve Perry, who walked away from the band. And so 9 years ago, Arnel Pineda got tapped to be the new lead singer of the real Journey after being in a Journey cover band.
And if you're not looking at them, it's the exact same voice.
He's uncanny. Well, they're getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in the class of 2017.
Okay, so which singer? You got to go with Steve Perry, right?
Going with the original.
Yeah, because he made all the records.
But this guy said he's excited because he's never met Steve Perry.
Is that right?
So when he shows up at the ceremony, it'll be the first time he'll be able to meet and shake hands with the original lead singer of Journey because all the guys are going to be inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Steve Perry punches him.
Oh, wouldn't it be great if they got in a fight?
That'd be awesome.
He said the only thing he wants to do is shake Steve Perry's hand and thank him for the music because, really, he created a career for him by being great that he sounded like him.
You know? Yeah.
He also said he's okay with not getting into the hall because he said, look, those guys created the music. I didn't. But it'll be just for the original members of that band. But after a decade, he'll finally get a chance to meet the guy he's been...
That's crazy.
...imitating all these years. It's kind of cool.
And that whole Steve Perry story is so remarkable to me because that Journey was a huge, huge band. I mean,
they
made it. And he walked away from it, had a couple of solo records, and then just vanished.
Yes.
You never, ever see Steve Perry anywhere.
No. He's a ghost.
Yeah.
He's the wind. What is he? He lives in like a mountain or something, doesn't he? Isn't he like a recluse?
Oh, that I don't know, but he certainly is not in show business anymore.
Well, he killed that dude. That's why he had to go on the run.
That's probably it.
He was accused of a crime he didn't commit. He had to go underground. If you need him, and if you're lucky enough to find him,
right.
you can get his help.
You're not thinking about the A team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was the A team. I'm sorry. I was getting the A team and Steve Perry confused.
A lot of people make that mistake.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Damon Wayans Jr. is 34 years old today. Actress Chloe Sevigny is 42. Megyn Kelly from Fox News is 46. Owen Wilson is 48 years old. Kirk.
Whoops.
Wow.
There you go.
But Kirk Hammett had done something bad. Kirk Hammett, guitarist for Metallica, is 54. And our buddy comedian Kevin Neal, you remember him from Weeds. Very, very funny man, 63 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is going to be a big hour. Our friend Brad Williams, very funny comedian, joins us in studio in minutes. And then we're going to give you a chance to win tickets for the sold-out night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Kids Christmas 2016. That's December 11th at the Forum. That is all happening in the next few minutes. Right now, though, let's go live to Ames, Iowa, ladies and gentlemen. Our friend the P, Petros Papadakis, from the Petros and Money Radio Show, joins us on the phone. Hey, P.
Good morning.
Showbiz, am I right?
It's so glamorous.
What is, I've been to Ames, but it's been a few years. What is Ames famous for, P?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been here before.
P, you could name any city in any state in the Union, and Bean has been there.
Well, yeah, I do travel.
It's famous for desolation and emptiness.
Right.
Barrenness, wind whipping cold.
Is that where the University of Iowa is?
Iowa State.
Iowa State is there. That's why you're there calling a game this weekend.
Yeah, the Cyclones.
How come they don't look at you and go, you know what? P is a former Trojan, and he lives here. Let's give him the USC-UCLA game. Why aren't you doing that game?
You know, it's interesting. In 2010, when it was a night game, a 7:30 kick at the Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. I had USC-UCLA, and it was the last game I did with my partner, my old play-by-play partner, Barry Tompkins.
Mm-hmm.
Who did the fight in Rocky IV, people might remember.
Right.
The Russian is hurt, that was
right,
what he said.
Right.
We did that game, and it was a 7:30 kick, so a long tailgate of drinking out there at the Rose Bowl on the golf course.
And then you ruined it for everybody?
Somebody got stabbed in the face.
Oh,
well, that
crap.
Wasn't your fault, P.
Wait, was that your fault, P?
I don't know.
But you haven't been invited back to the big game since then?
I don't think, maybe, no, I think I did one in 2012 on the sideline at the Coliseum. Nobody got stabbed that night, but I'm just saying, when there's a night kick at the Rose Bowl and there's going to be a long day of tailgating,
yeah,
protect your neck and face.
That's a okay. good tip.
All right, here's what I want to ask you about. Look, this game is always significant locally because so many people either went to or love people or are related to people or are friends with people who went to one of the schools. So everybody weighs in on who they'd like to see win. But oftentimes, it doesn't really matter in terms of the college football picture. This year, it really does for both schools, right?
Well, I mean, UCLA is wildly disappointing this year.
But they have, I mean, they can technically win out and make a bowl, right? At least they're still in the hunt.
Anybody playing on Saturday can technically win the game of who they're playing against because they're the other team playing, and technically they could win. But to be completely fair, this hasn't been more lopsided. I can't remember the last time it's been this lopsided, to be honest, just going into the game because UCLA is kind of hapless. I mean, teams kind of change throughout the season, and they become something different
right.
as the season goes on. And obviously, that's happened with USC. They have the most exciting quarterback in the country, honestly. And this kid, Sam Darnold, who's going to be the first pick in the draft in a couple of years, he's going to be a Heisman contender. I mean, he's all those things that you overhype somebody. He is that, Sam Darnold. Now, UCLA started the season with this great quarterback out of St. John Bosco, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, he was a true freshman, right?
No, he was a true freshman last year.
Oh, okay.
So this was his sophomore year for Rosen, and it ended up being disastrous. I mean, he was just okay when the season started, and now he's out for the season. Just had surgery a couple weeks ago. So,
all right, so USC is a lot better this year. Does the rivalry bring them up to being equal, or is that just not the case?
The rivalry is real, and there's no doubt that it's a game that teams get up for and crazy things happen, and I would be shocked if UCLA made this a game, but not as much because it's a rivalry game, like you said, because teams get all riled up. But you have to think about it in these terms as well. I mean, football is already really violent and really hard, and you're already trying to really beat and physically destroy the guy across from you.
Right.
How much more can you try to kill him? You know,
you're already at that point.
Yeah, it's already a rock fight. So there's a lot of anger, and usually the game starts out like that, and then everybody after a couple series or plays or whatever kind of settles into whatever your role is and the game that you have to execute. UCLA just doesn't have offensively. I mean, they don't have a quarterback. He's a former walk-on, a kid named Mike Faithful out of Maryland. He's going to start this game. They haven't been able to run the ball. The receivers this year have all had waffle irons instead of hands. And they've dropped so many footballs this year. A couple of those would have cost them a couple of them had cost them victories. I mean, UCLA would have two more wins and already be bowl eligible if they didn't have freaking giant waffle irons for hands.
Okay.
USC's just gotten better and better. They had a disappointing start, and they were kind of a mess when they started the year. But ever since they made their quarterback change, this kid, Sam Darnold, from San Clemente High School, has become something that is worth watching every week.
The reason I ask if the rivalry might even it out some is because that is my worst I left the game early story, because one of the teams at the Rose Bowl had a huge lead going into the fourth quarter. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat the traffic. And the other team came back and tied it, and I watched overtime it on my TV from a game that I was at.
Yeah, I remember that. I was a younger player back then.
Right.
But
that's probably not going to happen.
Well, let's be honest. It doesn't matter what happens at the game. If you're in L.A. and you leave early for traffic, you're a winner in my book.
Now, Pete, do you make predictions if I asked you for what the score will be? Is that something you would provide or no?
Yeah, I could do it. I'm in Ames, Iowa. What do I care?
Right. You may die there. We don't even know.
By the way, you make your prediction, then I'm going to tell you what the big tourist attraction is in Ames, Iowa, something you can go see this afternoon, all right?
But okay, I'm ready.
We need the drum roll again, I think.
All right, we need the drum roll for your prediction first.
I'm a little long-winded, so give it to me again.
Okay.
I think, let's say, 42...
That's 15. It? Just 42?
42-15.
42-15.
UCLA.
Okay. Wow.
The real ass whooping, boys.
All right.
Okay. All right. Here's what we didn't know about Ames, Iowa, is apparently the world's tallest concrete gnome is right there in Ames, Iowa.
No.
How exciting,
Pete. It's on the campus. It's in the Raymond Gardens on the campus at Iowa State University.
And I would bet any amount of money that you've seen it, Bean.
I have been there, yes. It is a 15-foot-tall concrete garden gnome, P, and you are probably right now on the phone with us in your hotel, probably within 2 or 3 miles of that attraction.
Do you feel the excitement?
My whole weekend just changed.
Right?
Right?
That it just changed.
If I don't see a picture of you standing next to the largest concrete gnome in the world, I'm going to be very disappointed, P.
You're going to get it.
All right. There you go.
Thank you, P.
Petros Papadakis joining us from Iowa. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again, my friend.
Fight on, and let's get an 8 clap.
We've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Night number 2 coming up in about 15 minutes, so keep listening for that.
First, though, how about comedian, actor, podcaster, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, our buddy Brad Williams, back in studio here.
Hello.
How are you, Brad?
I'm very disappointed.
Disappointed?
Disappointed? Yeah. What did we do already? Just said hello.
No, not in you. Just because I was listening on the way in, and I heard Ralph give out the AVN nominations.
Yes.
And I was disappointed to learn I was not nominated for my work.
You were in an adult video this past year?
I was in several dwarf porns.
Wait. All right, wait.
Wait, what?
I was in several.
But
I was
really?
I was in Make Snow White.
Good.
I was in I'll Go Up on You. And I was not nominated. I did good work. Damn it.
You should be hurt.
Right?
I'm not going to do any research on that, though.
I don't think we want to.
We'll just take your word that you were good.
Hey, Brad is going to be appearing tonight at the famous Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank, which is a great room, by the way. 4 shows tonight and tomorrow night. 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow night. Tickets available at flapperscomedy.com. Tickets are just $20. You get a chance to go see Brad locally.
Yes, and come out, because I got to pay for a wedding.
So, now, I wanted to ask you about
that, Brad. I need money.
Brad is getting
married.
When's the blessed day?
We don't have a date yet. We're meeting with the wedding planner right after I get out of this studio.
Oh, really? Wow.
So that's going to be fun. It's a blessed time
yes.
to be me and have to talk about, well, what's the theme of the wedding? Do you want a rustic wedding? Do you want a modern wedding? Do you
just
want a fun wedding?
Let her say words and then just nod and be happy. That's what you do.
She wants
whatever
my opinion.
She says. Yeah, I know. But
I don't know it. What? I don't know.
Just say green. No matter what she says or asks, just say, I like green.
That she said, what's our color scheme? What colors best exemplify who we are
and
as
you
a couple?
Say, what color do you feel makes you look the best?
Yeah. That's good.
Turn it around on her and let her pick.
Okay.
And then you agree. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. All I want, the only thing I want is famed 1980s WWE announcer Howard Finkel at the wedding.
I think that's a solid choice.
I want him to announce the bridal party.
That's a solid choice.
All I want is to hear, coming down the aisle, standing at 4 feet, 4 inches tall. That's all I want. That's my only request.
It doesn't seem like you're asking for too much.
And I think he's cheap. I don't think he's doing anything right now.
Probably, yeah.
Someone tweet Howard Finkel.
Look, Hardwick had a Star Wars droid at his wedding. There's no reason why you can't have a WWE announcer, right?
Hell, I can fit in the R2-D2.
Correct. That's right.
R.I.P. Hey, Kenny Baker.
Brad.
But there's an opening.
Yeah. Your fiance, whom I have not had the pleasure of meeting, have you met her yet, Kevin?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Apparently she's very lovely.
She
has a black belt in three different disciplines of martial arts?
That is correct. She is a fourth degree black belt in Taekwondo. She
Holy
is
moly.
A second degree black belt in Hapkido, and she recently got her black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. That's every woman in their cars right now going, girl power, and every guy going, good luck with that, dude.
Yeah.
It's frightening.
Yeah, she is 5'7".
Yes.
And was this just one of those cases where she didn't have a dwarf thing? She just met you, fell in love, and then realized that that was the way it was going
to
go, right?
Yeah, she did not have a dwarf thing. It's not like I went over to her place and after the first time we slept together, she like took out a stamp of a Smurf and just like put it on the side of her bed like
boom.
A fighter pilot.
Thanks. Never see you again.
Boom. Got another one. Got one.
Because a lot of times people
five more.
Will go,
my collection's complete.
A lot of times people will go, this is not at all the person I expected to marry. This person wasn't my type at all. I never would have predicted
this.
But then you meet the right person and everything goes out the window.
Oh, totally. Because like she's a tall, beautiful Asian woman. And
that could kick your ass in 17 different ways.
Yes. And I'm a dwarf. I understand that when people see a hot Asian holding hands with a midget, they're like, okay.
I get it.
Who ordered who?
Well, I just think Make-A-Wish. That's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Absolutely. You would not be too far off.
Now, the last time you came in, you were saying that you had to pay off a new house.
Yeah.
Now you're saying you have to pay for a wedding.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I am so much debt.
You're really putting yourself in the hole.
That was nominated too for an AVN.
Put
yourself in the hole. Big good work.
You met your fiancé Hal, Brad, and this is a wonderful story that one day I can't wait for you to have to tell your grandchildren.
This is the craziest story, and it's the typical story.
You know, you hear it all the time.
You've heard it 1,000 times. I met the woman I'm going to spend the rest of my life with on a threesome dating app.
Right?
I'm just going to let that settle in.
So, a threesome dating app.
Yes.
So, are you marrying two people?
Nope.
Okay.
I am marrying one.
You're choosing one, and you're saying no to the third.
We had an American Idol-style date-off, and I said, I will choose one right after the break.
Now, Brad, I have to ask. I have many questions
I
here.
I bet you do.
You only go with the right kind of threesome, not with the devil's triangle, right?
You are correct, sir.
Okay, good.
Dean's referring to one guy, two girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So,
that's
on the app, and that's what you're on. You're on
What's
the app
the
looking
app?
For.
The app is called Field. They did not pay me to say that. F-E-E-L-D. It used to be called Thrinder. Which was better.
I like Thrinder.
But then Tinder sued them.
What?
I know.
That's ridiculous.
So now it's called Field. So you can
Field.
Go.
Okay.
And I need more people on this app because right now it's a lot. It's not good.
Still going on the app?
Yeah.
But now you're going with your fiancé.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're finding a girl that the two of you can be with.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Okay. And we're very successful at it. Because, like, people see a hot Asian and a dwarf, they're like, that's everything on my bucket list.
USA! USA! USA!
Right?
USA!
I got an Asian black belt who's into threesomes. I win at life.
You do win at life,
Brad. You do win at life.
Whatever God took away from you at birth, he certainly made up for later on in life, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
This is so fascinating to me because when you're – look, this isn't Match.com. You're on an app like that because you're looking for a one-night sex party, right?
Yep.
And she was too. So the last thing either of you expected when you showed up at the place was that, hey, I'm going to meet somebody long-term.
This is correct. It was about midway through the first date when we kind of both looked at each other and we kind of – and we said it. We're like – we like each other, don't we? And it was almost like...
Now, what did the third person say? Because that's a bummer.
The third person didn't show up. We matched with the three, and then the third got cold feet and was I'm out. And then, so then we said, all right, well, let's go on the date anyway. And then we went on the date, and about midway through, we're like, And we were almost both upset about it because we both were not looking for a relationship. We're like, this is going to be a one-night deal. And we're like, crap. We like each other. Damn it!
That's not what I wanted. A beautiful story,
it is,
Brad.
Romantic.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, but
Matt writes in. Yeah. He's listening to the show. He says, "Please ask Brad, is he the only white guy in the world who will be shorter than his Asian wife?"
That's a good question.
I mean, right?
That's true. It was so funny because I met her mom recently. Her mom, by the way, thinks we met on ChristianMingle.com.
Of course.
I hope she doesn't listen to this show.
I assume she doesn't.
Yeah.
You're safe.
Yeah. So I met her mom, and she was not exactly thrilled to meet me.
Right.
Well, because, you know.
It wasn't her dream.
It's every Chinese woman's dream that her daughter's going to marry a little person. That's what they all dream about. They all have those fantasies.
So when you walked through the door, she put her hands up like, yes!
she
did it!
No. Far from.
And your life is a cartoon, my friend.
Did she not like you? No. Because she wants children. She wants grandbabies.
Right.
So she was looking at me like, oh, like, okay. She's, you know, your fiance's Chinese.
Right.
You're a dwarf.
Right.
What are your children going to be?
Yeah, and you there's no way to know, right, Brad?
Well, I just looked at her and said, really good toy makers.
Well, I mean, and that sold you on her, right?
She laughed at that, thank God. But actually, we do know. It's a 25% chance that it's a little person and 75% chance that it's...
The black belt.
Yeah, that's good. That,
okay, that, all right.
That the baby will ninja kick their way straight out of her uterus. So that's the
voice of our friend Brad Williams. Randy writes in, by the way, I already have my tickets to see Brad at Flappers in Burbank tonight. This will be my first time ever seeing him live. I am so excited. I can't wait. If you want to see the show, you can. 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, flapperscomedy.com is where you want to go to buy the tickets to see Brad Williams on stage. Brad, of how many Showtime comedy specials now?
Two Showtime specials with a third coming out this summer.
He is legit, you guys. Two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night, flapperscomedy.com. All right, I'm glad you're here, Brad, because Allie McKay is out today, and we would like you to fill in and help us give away some tickets for K-Rock Almost to Christmas.
Nice.
You mind?
Yeah.
Stick around for that? All right, these are going to be tickets for night number two. In particular, is it fair to say, Kevin, which band in particular we're looking for fans of this night?
Yeah, Green Day, Beck, Weezer, Bastille are all playing, but we're going to focus this particular game on Weezer.
All right, so if you're a Weezer fan and you want to earn your way into the sold-out night number two at the Forum December 11th, call now 1-800-520-1067. Brad Williams can help you win some tickets next on K-Rock. All right, this is going to be fun. The sold-out K-Rock Almost to Christmas 2016. We got tickets right now for night number two featuring the band Weezer. We got Weezer fans on the line with a game that we like to call Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Now, and it's on Facebook Live as well if you'd like to watch.
Oh, we're streaming this.
Yes.
Oh, that's fun. All right. As usual, Dave Sanchez is going to be one of the players. He's terrible at it. But
undefeated.
I don't know that he's ever
undefeated.
Won.
Except for all the times you were defeated.
Dave is absolutely the worst at this game.
I am
really
the
is
bad.
Best. That's what I meant, the best. Yeah.
Brad Williams, is this your first time ever playing the title fight?
This is my first time playing the title fight. I am a rookie, but I've been listening to the game. I've been studying.
All right.
I'm skilled.
All right.
Long time.
Kevin,
you don't need any of that to beat Dave.
Oh, okay, great.
Hey. Kevin, you want to explain to our contestants on the line and to those listening on the radio right now how the game is played, please?
Yeah, we have Eddie and we have Tony Lynn. Eddie, welcome.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Tony Lynn, hi.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
All right. Each of you are going to get some clues that to the title of a Weezer song. You have to come up with the title of a Weezer song, but the guys giving you the clues can use none of the words that are actually in the title. Okay? Yeah. You'll have 45 seconds. You can pass and go back if you need to.
So get as many titles as you can in that time period. So, Eddie, since we went to you first, you're going to be our first contestant. How does that work?
Yeah, he picks either Dave,
Hall of Fame,
or Brad.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's what I. This game has a lot of moving parts. All right, so since you have to go first, you get to pick your partner. Who would you like? And we recommend Brad very strongly.
I am going to go with Dave.
Yeah,
man,
you sizes,
my
bastard.
Man.
Look,
you
Eddie
are sizes.
Eddie doesn't want to go to the show. That's all.
Let's do this. We're going to win.
Good advice.
All right.
Me and the lady.
45 seconds on the clock. Eddie and Dave, here we go. Name as many as you can. Good luck. You're playing for night 2 sold-out tickets for the K-Rock Almost to Christmas.
All right. These come in a can.
Pork and beans.
This guy died in a plane crash.
Buddy Holly.
If everything goes wrong, but it's the opposite of that.
Perfect situation.
I smoke stuff in this.
Hash pipe.
The opposite of the devil. And boys.
Pat.
That's the last one, so let's finish it. Come on. Let's see. Not the devil, but...
Al Scorcho?
No. Think of the devil. What's the opposite? Who's the opposite of the devil?
God. Thank God for girls.
Boom.
Wow. Look at
Eddie's
that.
Eddie's a man.
With about nine seconds to go on the clock. By the way, Eddie's a great contestant.
Eddie's a man.
Dave was not good.
What are you talking about?
He said, I like to eat these. And he said pork and beans. How the hell do you get that?
I did not say that. I said they come in a can.
Oh, they come in a can.
Pay attention.
Yeah. He just said tuna fish. Right. Like, nothing else comes in a can.
Well, tuna fish is not a Weezer song.
Because it's a thing about Eddie.
Shh. All right.
Fight you. Tony Lynn is up next. Hi, Tony Lynn.
Hey, guys.
All right. Now you got to get all 5 from Brad.
Okay.
Make sure you turn up your radio.
We got this, Tony.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
All right, this is a city in Southern California where rich people live.
Beverly Hills.
Yes.
All right. If someone causes havoc, this is a piece of land surrounded by water, completely surrounded by water.
Sun.
Yes. Okay. This was Shaquille O'Neal's nickname.
Kobe.
Okay. So you go. It's not. That's a movie. Okay. It's, what was Shaquille O'Neal's nickname?
The greatest man that ever lived?
No. It's a place. It's a place where people.
Oh. Damn it!
Once again, undefeated. Victory.
That was Back to the Shack.
Yeah, Brad was looking for you to say Shack and then get Back to the Shack.
Were you trying to get Say It Ain't So when she said Troublemaker?
No,
it was Troublemaker.
She said Trouble. I skipped Say It Ain't So.
Because
I could not think of anything.
Okay. I thought you were giving clues for Say It Ain't So
when she said Troublemaker. Yeah.
Well, look, thank you, Tony Lynn, for playing the game. You were an excellent contestant, but not as excellent as Eddie was with his partner, Dave Sanchez.
You have won tickets
to night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Kiss Christmas 2016 to see Weezer and all the rest, Green Day, Bastille, Andrew McMahon, Beck, and so much more. Congratulations, Eddie.
That's awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Awesome. Thanks for making our life difficult with Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah.
Little 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
It is Friday morning. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's happening? What's going on? What's the latest?
I want to remind folks, tonight, Friday night at 10 p.m., it's the return of Hollywood Babylon to the Improv on Melrose. The original classic legendary improvisation. The Improv Comedy Club on Melrose tonight, 10 p.m. Me, Kevin Smith, and you in a very intimate 3-way date that we didn't have to go on some app to find, by the way. The natural way, God's way, through comedy.
Oh my gosh, no.
Right? And then we're going to be having a little cocktail after the show in the bar, celebrating the day of my birth. Because I didn't really get to tie one on last night, and that's It's not a birthday unless I'm vomiting.
Right.
Really,
that's
right?
What you've said your whole life.
I've got the T-shirt.
Yeah.
I've got the hat. Make birthdays vomit again. Remember those red hats I was
giving out
in my campaign?
Sure do.
Yeah.
It's very smart to invite listeners down for your birthday because clearly you can't be buying the drinks, right? They got to be buying the drinks.
Well,
your birthday.
The improv is very good to me when it comes to serving me alcohol. So I usually don't let listeners buy me
drinks.
That's nice. Because I don't want them to waste their money because I drink for free, really. It's part of my contract.
You're right.
They're losing
the only
money
part of
at
my
the improv.
Contract, really. They're like, so what do you want? It's like, you know, just booze, really. What
about
all you can
think
about salary?
It.
I don't know. Throw me some money at the end of the night. I don't really count it, but the drinks I do count, so make sure that those keep coming. So, no, I don't expect people to buy me drinks. I don't expect them to show up afterwards. If you don't want, you want to come see the show and not stick around, that's fine. But if you would, I always love meeting folks afterwards and saying hi and taking pictures and whatnot. So
that's, we have so much in common, Ralph. I love meeting the fans.
You are not that guy. I am that guy. You're not that guy.
Oh, that's right.
But, yeah, because here's the thing about radio, specifically, and podcast too. Hollywood Babylon's got a... We've been doing it for over 6 years now. Can you believe
that? Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very successful. But people who listen to the show, it's different with Babylon because we do it in front of a live audience. You know immediately whether it's working or not.
Right.
This show is different because we make each other laugh, but other than that, there may be no one listening. And if they're listening, there may be no one laughing. So when people come up at the show and say, oh, I listen to Kevin Bean every morning and blah, 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 and they tell stories about the show, it's so cool because you rarely get to meet the people who are responsible for your job. You know?
Yeah,
so
correct.
I like meeting the other side of the microphone. So that's tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv of Melrose. Go to improv.com if you want to get your tickets.
Yeah, I just wanted to say no.
Come on! I hate that guy. Courtney B. Vance. How great was he in The People v. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story?
Phenomenal.
He was fantastic.
He was. He won an Emmy for that work. He is going to be in a new series on ABC. He'll be co-starring with Felicity Huffman in an upcoming political family comedy series called Libby and Malcolm. The premise is not unlike a real-life couple. You know that James, what's his guy's name?
Carville.
Carville and his wife, Libby Stankiewicz.
I think that's it.
I really should have done some research before I went down this path. But James Carville and
it's
Mary
very
Matlin.
Mary, that's Matlin. Mary Matlin, there you go.
They are a married couple, and in this case, Courtney Vance and Felicity Huffman will play a married couple. He's a liberal political commentator, while his wife, Felicity Huffman, will play a co-host on his show. She's a Republican. And so that pits their working lives against each other, and then their family life at home. You know, how do those people survive? I always looked at that couple, the real-life couple of James Carville and Mary Matlin, saying, how do they go home at the end of the day and coexist?
Not
fight,
I agree.
Yeah.
Because it's not just that's their jobs, is to work against each other. It's their fundamental belief systems are so different.
And they're both enormously passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a political person, you can have someone has an opposing viewpoint. You're like, all right, you know, we'll just live and let live. But if it's your day job and you care about that so much.
Yeah.
How do you settle things at the dinner table, you know?
Rock, paper, scissors.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
Is that how you voted this year, Kevin?
Yeah.
Was it Gary Johnson with scissors and Trump was rock and Hillary was paper?
Landed on Gary three times. I had to keep going.
Kanye West told San Jose in concert last night that he did not vote.
Okay.
He didn't vote. That's going to come back and haunt him in 2020.
It sure is.
When he's running for president. They're going to bring that up in the first debate, I'm sure. But he did tell us if he was going to vote, who it would have been for. Didn't make the crowd very happy. Here's a little audio.
I told y'all I didn't vote, right? But I didn't tell you. I guess I told you. But if I would have voted, I would have voted on Trump. To black people, stop focusing on racism. It's just a fact. We are in a racist country.
He would have voted on Trump.
Right.
If he had voted, he would have voted on Trump.
Can you vote on someone?
I don't believe that's the way it's really phrased, but he would have voted on Trump.
I am really proud. I am really honored.
The internet did not like that.
Well,
not that they like much of anything these days, but as you can imagine, there was a significant online backlash to what he said. My favorite tweet, I love this guy. This is from @HeckPhilly. And with that, Kanye is completely over. For me, I was hanging on to give him a chance, but he's done.
But he's going to run for president, Ralph.
That's true.
Look, if he wants to vote for Donald Trump, fine. He's too lazy to vote, though. That concerns me.
That is the weirdest part, I think.
Yeah. And also, nobody, Kevin, you've been to enough Kanye shows to know I'm right. Nobody put their money down to go to that show to listen to Kanye West talk about Donald Trump.
To talk about anything.
Right. This is like Bieber getting angry because people don't let him talk about what his special purpose is.
Do your music. I came here for your music.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
You can speak out if you want any other time, but I did. If you're going to a concert, you expect a concert.
I just like him voting on Trump. That's all I
know. Sure. If he had voted.
If he had voted.
Right.
He didn't. He would have voted on Trump. Sad news. Mentor Williams has passed away. Legendary singer, songwriter. Remember that that Uncle Cracker hit, Drift Away? Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul.
Oh, I recognize
Uncle
that song.
Uncle Cracker from 2003. He wrote that and a ton of other songs as well. So he passed away, and he was a very talented guy. The music industry will mourn his passing. Sorry to bring it down.
That's right.
I'm trying to be a bummer. Here's some good news. NBC has announced yesterday they will be airing the full original version of the classic Everybody Loves. It is the best Christmas special of all. How the Grinch Stole Christmas. To mark its 50th anniversary, NBC said they're going to show it in its entirety, the full-length version, 26 minutes of that cartoon special, for the first time in years. For decades, it has been trimmed down to make room for more commercials.
I didn't know that.
But now they're going to show the whole thing. I didn't know it either until I bought the DVD for my kid. Because I said, I don't want to miss the airing or not DVR it or whatever. Then I have to wait a whole nother year.
Have it available.
I'll have it available so I can show it to her and watch it. And I was watching going, what the hell? I don't remember this part. But Grinch goes to a strip club? I don't remember that at all. That was weird. Cindy Lou Who's on the pole? That was strange to me.
That's bullshit.
It's only one channel there, B.
It's weird.
It's sort of just in one channel.
Huh. Yeah, not the best YouTube video I could have brought up.
I mean, I feel like maybe, yeah.
So they're going to show in its entirety, celebrate 50 years of Mr. Grinch. And so you can watch the day after Thanksgiving on November 25th, because as all right-thinking Americans know, you cannot start celebrating and or decorating for Christmas until after Thanksgiving has completed.
So. Oh, you're brave to say that today when the girl's not here because she's home finishing her decorations up.
She is. She's...
Oh, I'm so mad!
Sorry, Allie. She's busy pushing a sewing needle through popcorn. Today's celebrity birthdays. Damon Wayans Jr. is 34 years old today. Chloe Sevigny turns 42. Megyn Kelly turns 46. Owen Wilson is 48. If you haven't seen that video online of the turtle imitating Owen Wilson.
Wow.
Kirk Hammett from Metallica is 54.
New Metallica today, by the way. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hardwired.
Hardwired.
To self-destruct.
New Metallica today.
New Metallica. The name of the new Metallica CD. They've been performing all over television, by the way. You can see them on Jimmy Fallon. They use the kids' instruments. And to Enter Sandman.
Stop this imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
They still got it.
Yep. Kirk Hammett's 54, and comedian Kevin Nealon is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
I don't remember a five-day period where more great movies come out ever before, Ralph. Because Wednesday, you know, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, is when Allied comes out, Bad Santa 2 comes out, and the Moana movie comes out. I mean, there's so many great things. And this weekend is ridiculous, too, in terms of the choices that we have, right?
It is a short refractory period for the movie Money Shot. You're absolutely right.
I'm not sure I like that description.
No. Well, I'm sorry. I still think about the AVN nominations.
Let's take a look at this week's Movie Beat, shall we? Hit it.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
You guys are nothing if not consistent, by the way.
Hey, I say it really, really fast so I don't step on a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and you change it every time to make sure that I can't anticipate.
Ladies, please.
Appreciate that.
Don't fight over
me. That's great news.
This first movie's in limited release this weekend. It's called Manchester by the Sea. This Casey Affleck, he started off being Ben's baby brother, but he is coming to his own as an actor.
Oh, he's a tremendous actor.
Kenneth Lonergan is the writer-director of this film. A tough family drama about an uncle who was forced to take care of his teenage nephew after the boy's father dies, doesn't really want the responsibility. Yet, I think in the long run, they're both going to learn an important lesson about life and love. I just get a sense. Casey Affleck stars. Michelle Williams is also in this film. Kyle Chandler. Lucas Hedges as well. Here are some clips from the trailer of Manchester by the Sea.
I don't understand.
Which part are you having trouble with?
Well, I can't be his guardian.
Well, your brother provided for your nephew's upkeep.
Where are we going, to the orphanage?
Shut up.
Get in the car.
Can't obey your orders until you unlock the door.
What did he decide? He can always stay with us if he wants to come up weekends.
Do you want to be his guardian? Hello?
Hello, Lee? I just want to call and say I'm sorry. How's Patrick doing?
He doesn't really open up with me. I'm not going to bother you. I'm going to just sit here until you calm down.
All right, I'm calming now. Would you please just go away?
No.
Ralph, do I have time for a quick story?
Yeah, sure.
In the theater, watching that trailer.
Yes.
And they have a very, very thick accent, yeah, Boston.
A lot of Boston.
Yeah, a lot of. Mm-hmm. And then the guy says, I caught a shock. And the old guy behind me that doesn't know how loud he's talking in the theater says, what does he mean, shock? And the old woman sitting next to him said, he said shark. And he said, no, he didn't. He said, shock. What did he mean, shock?
Stuck his finger in a light socket? Is that what he
just insane.
Well,
the Boston accent is quite strong.
It is.
That's tough.
Those Affleck boys sure like their Boston,
they
don't
sure
they?
Do.
They sure do a lot of Boston
they
stuff.
They like that Boston.
They love the Boston. Nocturnal Animals also in limited release this weekend, but from director Tom Ford. You may know him best for Tuxedos. But he's also a filmmaker. This film looks like a very tense thriller. Amy Adams stars as a woman who owns an art gallery. She has an ex-husband who their relationship is not great. And she finds out that he has written a novel, a violent thriller, that she interprets as a threat against her life. And perhaps even more so a symbolic revenge tale against something that she may have done to him years ago. Jake Gyllenhaal is also in the film. Michael Shannon's in the film. Aaron Taylor Johnson, almost unrecognizable in this movie. It's called Nocturnal Animals. It's in limited release. Here's some clips from the trailer.
My ex-husband used to call me a nocturnal animal.
I didn't know you had an ex-husband.
Recently, he sent me this book that he's written. It's violent and it's sad. And he dedicated it to me.
Did you love him?
I did something horrible to him.
When you love someone, you have to be careful with it. You might never get it again.
It's fun to kill people. We should try it sometime.
Nobody gets away with what she did.
Ah! 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 Good thing she knows Superman. Superman will show up and save her in the last minute.
I think that he's in this.
Sure.
I think that's
Amy Adams didn't know Superman.
That looks real good, you guys.
Bleed for This is another film opening up this weekend with Miles Teller.
Also looks good.
This is the true story of world champion boxer Vinny Pazienza. Vinny Paz, as he was known back in the 90s. The Pazmanian Devil was also his nickname. Stop laughing. He was awesome.
That's strong.
Pazmanian Devil.
I like that name.
So anyway, Vinny Paz was on top of the world. World champion boxer. And then in one fleeting moment, his world came crashing down. He was in a car crash, which almost killed him, but certainly damaged his spine to the point where doctors didn't know if he'd ever walk again, let alone they knew he would never box again. He bucked the odds. He said no to his doctors. He said no to his trainer, and he wasn't giving up, and he came all the way back. It's one of the most incredible comeback stories in sports history. The movie's called Bleed for This. Aaron Eckhart plays the trainer. Katie Sagal's also in this film. Here's some clips from the trailer.
If you let me do the fusion, I can guarantee you'll be able to walk again.
I need to be able to fight again.
Me.
And not fuse in my neck.
With this severe of an injury, one bump, one fall, and your spinal cord could sever.
Kev, I'm gonna fight again.
No, you ain't, Vinny.
Vinny, no, no. I mean, you just don't know how to give up.
No, I know exactly how to give up. You know what scares me, Kev? Is that it's easy.
Come on, this is insane.
I'm not done. All right, I got more in me.
God. Boxing is the best movie sport in the world. It is. It's the most effective sport to be portrayed in movies.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
For dramatic impact. You think of boxing films, invariably, it's just always
that one-on-one
so
factor.
Inspiring. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's against the odds.
Yeah.
It's the
underdog, always.
It's always from the outhouse to the penthouse kind of thing and back again. Just great stuff. I can't wait for that movie.
And I love Miles Teller, too, by the
very
way.
Very talented actor.
The Miles Man.
The Miles Man, right. As he calls himself. The Edge of 17 also opens up this weekend. Looks like a very funny, bittersweet coming-of-age story starring Haley Steinfeld, who I love. Loved her since True Grit. She plays a young lady named Nadine. Her best friend is Krista. Her world falls apart when Krista starts dating Nadine's older brother, making Krista part of the in crowd. Nadine is sort of an outsider, and she's got to try to find her way through the jungle that is high school. Haley Lou Richardson also stars in this. Kira Sedgwick also stars. And playing the one teacher that Nadine can relate to, Woody Harrelson is in this film with a very funny turn. Here is a scene which sounds sad, where Haley Steinfeld goes in to see her favorite teacher, pretty much to tell him, I'm going to kill myself. That's how bad things are. Woody Harrelson turns things around in the scene from The Edge of 17.
I'm going to kill myself. Probably going to jump off an overpass in front of a semi.
I wish I knew what to say. Well, I was actually just drafting my own suicide note just now. Dear everybody, as some of you know, I have 32 fleeting minutes of happiness per school day during lunch, which has been eaten up again and again by the same especially badly dressed student. And I finally thought, you know what? I would rather have the dark, empty nothingness. I really would. It sounds relaxing.
Sounds like she went to the right teacher for help.
Absolutely. Yep. And lastly, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yay!
Title comes from a textbook that Harry Potter read while he was at Hogwarts. And this is the story behind that textbook. The writer, Newt Scamander, takes a secret mission to New York City where he uncovers the secret community of witches and wizards. And it leads to a magical adventure for Eddie Redmayne, star of the film. Also, Dan Fogler also stars. Colin Farrell's also in this movie. Here's a scene from the film where Colin Farrell is interrogating Eddie Redmayne in jail about what his plans are. Why did he bring those animals, those beasts, to New York City? And what's his connection with the magical world?
What makes Albus Dumbledore so fond of you?
I really couldn't say.
So setting a pack of dangerous creatures loose here was just another accident. Is that right?
What would I do deliberately?
To expose wizard kind. To provoke war between the magical and non-magical worlds.
Mass slaughter for the greater good, you mean?
Yes.
I'm not one of Grindelwald's fanatics, Mr. Graves.
Good stuff.
Can't wait.
Glad they're getting out their wands again. Glad they're whipping out their wands. We all love those movies with the big wands.
Kevin, you going to that today?
Of course.
How do you do following all of the characters and the spells and the
how
magic and everything?
Dare
I'm just wondering if they're
you
complicated.
Suggest
a little bit.
Kevin pulls out his wand.
I couldn't follow along.
He pulls out his wand and goes, Brannicus! And he just remembers everything with a magical
okay.
spell.
Does that work?
Yeah.
All
yeah,
right.
It does, Kevin.
Excellent.
Yell it really loud in the middle of the theater during a tense moment.
Will do.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Sarah Noel, by the way, from North Hollywood, won her tickets for night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 concert, so she'll be seeing Blink 182 and Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, AFI, and so much more. Your chance to win is coming up at 10. In fact, we got them for you every hour all day long today, like we do up until 5 o'clock. So go to KRock.com for all the details.
Tomorrow is USC-UCLA, and we sent out mugs to both campuses to talk to some students and find out what the vibe is like.
Boy, let me tell you how stupid I felt just walking through the campuses and seeing all these bright young faces eager to get great college educations. I just felt so inadequate.
Well, I mean, at least you knew enough to feel inadequate. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have loved that.
Self-awareness there. Now, what I love about interviews, and this happens to be college football we're talking about,
yes.
but what I love about any interview with a fan base is the people are not really responding to the questions based on football IQ here.
Oh, no.
They're not breaking down the teams and coming up with analysis of who they think will and should win.
The guy asking the questions in this case doesn't do that either.
Okay. All they know is if I go to this school, then your team must suck and so do you. Right.
Right. Now, Muggs first goes to USC, and he is all up in USC. He's so on their side. And then he goes to UCLA, and he's all UCLA.
Front runner, right? Baby.
It's beautiful. Here he is with USC.
What is your prediction on this weekend's big rivalry game?
Oh, we're absolutely going to blow them out of the water, and we're going to be ringing our victory bell a lot.
What makes USC better than UCLA, Rui?
Everything. We're just better at everything. There's not a single thing that we're worse at. We're better at football.
We're probably better at other sports. We're better at rowing most of the time.
Bucks, what's up, man? Are you part of the Trojan Knights? We're teching Tommy Trojan right here.
I'm going to yell into the microphone so that it gets distorted.
Right before the big rivalry game against the hated ones, UCLA. Who's going to win this weekend?
Obviously the Trojans.
What makes USC better than the hated Bruins?
I think just a combination of our overall academic standings. We've actually risen above them in the rankings now. I think we've always been kind of just cultural-wise, I think we have a lot more school spirit, and I think you can really see our relations of everything we do.
What do you guys think is the worst thing about UCLA?
Their colors. The worst. Worst colors in the country.
You guys send out any, like, Trojan Knight operatives out to Westwood to mess with the Bruin?
No comment.
Who's going to win?
USC.
How much?
50-0.
Ooh!
What makes USC way better than UCLA this year in football?
Sam Darnold and Adore and Juju and Cam Smith and all of the great players on our team, as well as Clay Helton.
What is the one thing that is common consensus that
the best question
USC students feel about UCLA students?
UCLA sucks.
Because the USC marching band is one of the, like, the best in the nation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Are you on it? What do you play?
I play bass 5 on the drumline.
Awesome! You know, I did bass 5 my high school marching band, and I did for like 4 weeks.
Right.
And then I got bored.
And then he got bored.
And quit.
Awesome! Let me tell you about me.
He was so happy for that drummer.
Yes, he was.
He was so happy to turn it into about me.
When the girl started talking about the players, he had no clue what she was talking about, so he just moved right on.
Yeah, she pretty much owned you. You know, it is interesting because we had Petrus on talking about this game earlier, and his prediction was a blowout, right? He thought USC was going to win by like 40 or something like that. But UCLA has won 3 out of the last 4, if I remember correctly.
And that's where Muggs went next.
All right.
Muggs went to UCLA.
Who do you think is going to win on Saturday?
Well, obviously I'm biased and I hope that UCLA wins. It's easily the greatest school in the nation. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a tough competition. USC has a great team this year.
What makes UCLA better than USC?
The people. I just love the happiness and diversity and character of the people here at UCLA.
Do you know what USC stands for?
Well, I have heard University of Spoiled Children.
Uh-huh. Plus USC, O.J. Simpson, right?
Well, yeah, there's always that.
Listen to Muggs, by the way.
That's what homer. I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When he's at USC, he's all USC. Then he goes to UCLA, and he's all UCLA.
That's funny. I love, by the way, that the UCLA student is talking about diversity, yep, and the USC student is talking about rowing. I love that.
All right, and I want you to listen again to, I'm just going to play a little bit of that interview, but I want you to listen to the uncomfortable laughter.
Well, I have heard University of Spoiled Children. Uh-huh.
Plus USC, O.J. Simpson, right?
Well, yeah, there's always that.
What makes you think that UCLA is going to lose?
Well, I don't follow football.
Who's protecting the bear, the Bruin, the statue? Is there anybody? Oh, there's a box around?
Yeah, there's a box around it.
Now, if you could use one or a couple words to sum up the negativity of USC,
excellent,
what would those words be?
Excellent question.
Their colors are like ketchup and mustard.
So we give out Beat SC shirts, and to get a shirt, you have to give a shirt. And you have to give a red shirt or like a red piece of clothing, and we donate them to the Salvation Army. Another way you can get a shirt is by giving blood.
It's funny because SC, you know how you got a FUCLA shirt? You had to pay for it.
Typical.
Who do you think is going to win?
Right.
I think we are definitely going to win, actually. Just because our season has been pretty rough so far, we're due for a win.
That's how it works, by the
way.
That
is how it works.
And what better could it be than to have us beat SC?
Where are you going to watch a game? Are you going to be at the Rose Bowl?
Yes, at the Rose Bowl.
Let me tell you, great tailgating on the golf course outside of the Rose Bowl.
Good tip.
Can't tailgate at the Coliseum. Well, you can tailgate at the Coliseum, but you got to watch for flying bullets.
That's Muggs right there.
Go
Good
team!
Advice, Muggs.
Go team!
Whichever. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. It's the most wonderful time of the week, you guys. The end of Friday's show and our final look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
Fridays.
Right.
This is the best Showbiz Beat, too. This is the one that always goes well.
And by well, you mean off the rails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Off the cliff.
Right.
First it gets off the rails, then it goes off a cliff.
Right.
Then it goes to the bottom of a ravine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we land in a thicket.
Right.
A thorny thicket.
And then a piano falls on us.
Right. And then whatever we got went off the cliff and explodes.
Right.
Whatever type of vehicle we were in initially when we went off the rails. I'm guessing it was a train.
Now, I also heard that once they smell blood in the water, then they start coming out of the woodwork.
That's true. They smell money in the water.
All of
Didn't
that
I,
is true.
I heard a wise
when they
man
smell
say
money
that
in the water.
Oh, that's what it was.
Then
yeah.
they come out of the woodwork.
That's what it was.
It wasn't even blood.
That's right. I
it
forgot
was money.
It was money, because you can smell money in water. Right?
Whoever said that's a genius.
Well, hold on. Let me check the tape here.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
It might have been you, Kevin. I think it might have been you.
That sounded like you to me.
What are they, by the way? What creatures are smelling money in the water and then
this
coming out of
you.
Woodwork?
This might surprise you.
Are they
you.
Mice fish? Are they greedy, money-grubbing mice fish?
This might surprise you, but I have no idea where that came from.
That's shocking.
But it was a good point, yeah. nonetheless.
Sometimes you hear about a movie and you say, I'd like to see that right now, please. Can you just throw it up on the screen?
Yes.
Before it's even made.
Not always. Sometimes.
This is how I feel about the upcoming comedy, Holmes and Watson. The story of Sherlock Holmes and his partner, Dr. John Watson. Sherlock Holmes, played by Will Ferrell.
Bitchin'.
And Dr. Watson, played by John C. Reilly. Stars of Step Brothers and Talladega Nights, reuniting yet again.
I've never been so in.
To bring joy to the world.
Is it coming out today?
It sadly is not.
Oh, I thought that's how you started.
Because they just added the cast of the comedy, Rob Brydon, who's a very funny comedian, actor, and impressionist from the UK. Kelly MacDonald, who I love. She's
oh,
adorable.
She's the best.
Rebecca Hall. Come on, this
love
cast.
Love her, too.
Dr. Watson.
Evil?
Oh. Dr. Watson, as I mentioned, played by John C. Reilly. However, Dr. Grace Hart, the first female doctor to practice in London, will be played by Rebecca, a love interest, reportedly, to Sherlock Holmes. And Kelly will be playing Sherlock's housekeeper. So, oh. I'm laughing already at these people.
Ralph, you didn't watch Boardwalk Empire, inexplicably, right?
Was that a sequel? Boardwalk Empire, inexplicably? Was that the second season? Did they change the title?
Kelly MacDonald.
I did watch some of it. I watched some of it.
Was so great on that series.
I did not watch every episode.
She's so lovely.
Yes, I agree. I'm a fan of hers. I like her. She's good. I'm all right.
You had Will Ferrell, though. I mean,
yes, of course.
How in do I have to be?
Everything else is gravy.
Right.
But they are the meatloaf of comedy.
Right.
Bitchin'.
You know what else Kelly MacDonald was good in? Was a movie that she did with Bill Nighy, who was one of my favorite British actors. They did a May-December romance film.
How do you feel like this is going, Ralph? Is this the part where the
Not
train
well.
Is inching over the cliff?
We're rattling. The train is rattling.
Okay.
And the wheels are just about to go off the rails.
Nope,
right?
Not yet.
No, not yet?
Not
okay.
yet.
Okay, all
yet.
Right.
How about now?
Nope.
Okay.
Was there a reason you brought up the movie, or
just cut Kelly MacDonald?
Because she's
talking
great,
about
everybody.
Kelly MacDonald, how great she is.
Okay,
and that she's great.
Right,
right.
Wonder if we have any other stories to go to now.
Khloe Kardashian has a new boyfriend. Tristan Thompson is his name. You know him, of course, from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And apparently they're very into each other, so much so that Us Weekly says they've been throwing around the L word, and that they're moving forward. They're moving forward with their relationship because she is very supportive of the fact that he is welcoming his first child with another woman any minute now.
Wow.
So she's a great girlfriend who's standing by you as you're preparing to have your first child with someone else.
She's very understanding.
They are white trash, the Kardashians. They are low lives.
But they have a lot of money.
They have a lot of money. But yeah. I'm saying, if you take the money away,
right.
and you saw people behaving the way this family behaves,
it's Honey Boo Boo.
You'd say, what a classless bunch of train wrecks they are.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying.
She certainly has a type also, doesn't she, Chloe?
Well, all of the Kardashian girls kind of like athletes.
Right.
And rappers. Tends to be their high-profile personalities.
Bitchin'!
That they like. I will, Chip. I'll do it right now so everyone can stop panicking. Everyone's very upset that I haven't given out the K-Rock Guys Night Out tickets
I know, I'm
yet.
Getting all these...
Getting messages on the
messages
screen.
On
Chip's
the screen,
walking around.
Flashing red.
She's got semi-four flags. She's trying to spell things out.
Hey, guys. Guys Night Out.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Got it. I'll do that right now so everyone can just... Unclench their sphincters.
Got
it. Mugs.
Thanks, Mugs.
Coming.
Hey, Ralph, Guys Night Out.
You got
right.
it, Chip. Here it is.
Don't forget your giveaway here.
Guys Night Out. K-Rock's yeah! Guys Night Out is tonight at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. If you are looking for one hotel and casino
named after a two-wheeled vehicle.
This is it?
This is the one.
This is for you?
This is the one for you. It's my favorite of all those. The Bicycle Hotel and Casino tonight. It's Kevin. It's Beer Mug. It's Dave the King of Mexico. Who else is it? Is
it Omar? Usually Omar spins. Omar comes along. On the ones and twos, usually.
Yeah, it's quite the bash.
Lightning's going to be there screaming at everybody.
Oh, for sure.
So that's good.
I'm going to give away right now $200 worth of chips to get you started in the tournament and a spot to play poker at Kevin's table. Now, be warned, Kevin is on tilt.
I really am.
So he may come at you with a certain amount of aggression tonight, but I would just beat him. That's all we ask is just beat Kevin.
I'm just a douchebag.
It's a spot at Kevin's table up for grabs right now. The winner must be 21 years of age or older. So we're going to give this special grand prize out to caller number 21. Caller number 21 at 1-800-520-1067.
I played poker Tuesday night, and I lost all of my money and my dog, and I'm relatively sure my car.
And that put you in a good mood?
Yes. So I'm looking for some revenge.
It's not too late, by the way. If you want to play and you don't win, you can still go to thebike.com and RSVP your spot to play poker with the guys. Doors open at 8. The poker and blackjack starts at 9 p.m. So go get them.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Call right now and we'll get right back.
No, we'll see you tonight at 9.
Kevin will get back to you. If you call right now, he'll get back to you. And speaking of things to do tonight, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
Hey, Ralph, did you do the giveaway?
Kevin Smith and I are going to be doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to see you. Come on out. It's a good time. We have fun. What do you say? Coming? Now I can't get a no.
Nope.
Now I can't get one.
Nope.
Improv.com is where you go to get all the information and tickets for that.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Vin won't be there.
Vin has sent his regrets. Stupid.
Rodney also sends his regrets.
He's a hater.
Trump will not be stopping
not by. Coming by.
We're not all so impressed.
Hear about Trump's victory tour, by the way? He's planning his victory tour.
I heard that he was going to go to places that supported him to give speeches.
Yes, that's going to be his victory tour.
Yeah, I did hear that.
He's going to do a victory lap.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure. I think he needs more love. Oh. He wants to get more love.
I mean, he was elected president of the United States. Isn't that enough love?
Nope. He doesn't quite know if enough people like him or not.
But what do we need to do?
Because he wants to get in front of a crowd and hear them cheer.
Why?
All right. I really think that's the best part of being president for
him. Why?
Is the cheering.
Why?
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Why?
Kevin Nealon is 63 years old today. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett is 54. Speaking of Metallica, brand new music from them today. The new CD is out available. Hardwired to Self-Destruct is the name of it.
They made videos for all the songs. It's up for free on YouTube if you want to watch those, too.
It is. Owen Wilson is 48 years old today.
Wow.
Mike Epps turns 46. Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly turns 46 as well. Actress Chloe Sevigny is 42. And Damon Wayans Jr., love him, 34. Very funny on New Girl. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Did we mention the Bicycle Hotel and Casino? I don't remember if we did that or not.
I think we did bring that up.
Guys Night Out.
Thebike.com for more details.
Guys and girls, welcome. It's not named well, but guys and girls, welcome. We start playing at 9 p.m. See you then.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What it do, baby boo?
Do not bogart that joint, my good friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Why?
Roll another one.
Would you all welcome Scott Baio?
Just like the other one.
That's racist.
This one seems to be about to quit.
I love what he just said.
And I need another hit.
Or find us on the web at http://www.UncleFred'sUsedCarEmporium and Pawn Shop located on the corner of Main and 6th, downtownbaltimore.com.
Why would you? Why would you do that?
Roll another one.
I would get in John F. Kennedy's bed.
Just like the other one.
Hello.
This one seems to be about to end.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
I don't have another cent.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
It's true.
Why?
Less talking, more swallowing.
Just pass it around.
Wake up, I need to make money.
But don't hold up that joint, my friend.
You see that? You see how white people do?
know many of you are deeply disappointed. I am too, more than I can ever express.
It is all over. Just
I feel like it went pretty well.
Oh, Lord.
I'm happy with it.
Oh, my gosh. No.
I'm dropping the mic.
Have a wonderful day.
All you bad folks, you must go.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
Take care. Stay safe. Don't get caught in an earthquake. Stay safe.
Wow.
Wow.